This is the first time we're going to send humans to the moon, and we're going to have humans in low Earth orbit. That is awesome.
I was talking to someone very close to Elon Musk, and this is in the first Trump administration. And they said, no, they're really going to launch the Mars mission from the dark side of the moon, so it can't be looked at by a lot of our enemies, but also it's a better launch point. And also it's protecting the craft facilities from solar radiation. And they've already got 3D printers up there. They've already got a base up there for the secret space program. And that when Trump wins re-election, they're going to announce it and do it. You notice Musk suddenly said, now we're not launching from the Earth. We're launching from the dark side of the moon a month ago.
Exactly. Well, that's 6-7 years ahead. That's the kind of intel. This is part of the problem, which is we're getting the intel much, much later. And there's this gap in time. So we talk about things like the release of the UFO file. This is scheduled.
8 brilliant minds, each one inching closer to unlocking zero-point energy, plasma fusion that could render fossil fuels obsolete, or the anti-gravity secrets allegedly reverse-engineered from crashed non-human craft, have met mysterious ends or vanished without a trace. Their deaths and disappearances clustering in recent months amid rising whispers of massive revelations.
I've been 100% serious. I've been briefed by just about every alphabet agency there is. And I'll just tell you this. If they would release the things that I've seen, you would stay up. You'd be up at night worrying about or thinking about this stuff. This country would have come unglued, I think, if they would have heard all that I heard. They would demand answers. And we need to. But, you know, it's never going to get, and unfortunately, it just keeps getting covered up and covered up. And the people that know are dying or disappearing, as the case may be.
Wow.
And for the record, I'm not suicidal and I don't take risks.
This is why Congress is working hard for whistleblower protections, because we want people to feel safe to come out and have a conversation. And right now they don't feel overly safe. They've seen some of the tactics and techniques that were applied to try to keep people quiet in the past. Let me say this in general terms. People say, oh, well, the government would never kill anybody to protect a secret. Try going to Area 51 and look at the signs on that chain link fence where it says lethal force authorized. You cross that fence and they can kill you dead. Okay? So the government can, under certain extreme cases, under certain extreme situations and conditions, they can do whatever they need to do to protect national security, and they will.
But I was standing behind an alien in a spacecraft, just a small one. Could I ask you a question? And he said, okay. And I said, how do you get from here to Alpha Centauri? We can't do that. The only thing that we think about is I have to go really fast for a really long time. Can you use what information I have in my head and try to explain it to me? And he said, well, do you know what a Rubik's Cube is? And I said, oh, yeah, my son can do them in 2 minutes. He says, okay, so imagine a Rubik's Cube, but not necessarily just the six sides. Just imagine the concept of a Rubik's Cube. And I said, okay. Now imagine on each one of the tiles on the Rubik's Cube has a chart of the elements. And he says, so what you do to get to Alpha Centauri is you just twist the cube. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I told you wouldn't understand. And he said, when the periodic table occurs in a different place, you're at that place. And that's just a very crude explanation. But you have to stop thinking about go that way for a long time, very fast.
Describe the very first time you were teleported.
It's scary in a way. I mean, you don't really know, okay, is this evil? Is this good? What is this? What do I do with this? How do I deal with it? I was on the phone. Oh my God, what's happening? And I was landed. And landed about 40 miles away in a ditch outside of a Baptist church in a little tiny town just where you cross over the border. And it was an incredibly frightening moment.
I want to want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it.
This stuff works, man.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday morning, the 6th of April, 2026. We have a weekend worth of news to go over, of course, most of it having to do with Iran. But actually, we'll be joined in the second hour by a very special guest. You may know him as Danks. And we'll be talking about Salem Media and basically the takeover of Christian conservative media by Zionist Israelis, who are weaponizing our nationalism, patriotism, and Christianity against us. I'm very excited to talk to him in the second hour. I'll take your calls in the third hour, and we'll go over everything that happened over the weekend and see if we can't try to get to the truth through the lies, because everybody's lying on every side. And we'll try to be the only ones out here just genuinely giving you the God's honest truth on these matters. Headline today on the show, about Trump having dementia. That's what's being discussed. Whether he is or isn't, the fact is he is now all but openly threatening to use nuclear weapons against Iran out of sheer frustration. And you got to understand how, again, just unprecedented and ridiculous this is. There were times in the Korean War that tactical nukes were talked about being used on the field, since the nuclear weapon, the nuclear bomb, was still a fairly new thing in the 1950s. And they were, you know, trying to figure out ways to employ it other than just wiping out entire cities. Could it be used on the battlefield to take out battalions? There's actually incredible footage of Americans testing this type of stuff using howitzers or some sort of mortar launching device to launch miniaturized nukes on the battlefield. Some pretty crazy footage. They found out that it was not the most usable thing, considering the fact that even if you take out an enemy position, there's radioactive waste that makes it impossible to then take that position yourself for a long time, amongst other, you know, problems with the technology. Even in the Vietnam War, when our country was being torn asunder by the outrages going on there and things were going very badly and it looked very bad for us, still never used a nuclear weapon. The idea that he wants to use one now. Now, the only time that we've used nuclear weapons, and I've said it before, it's almost a miraculous way that nuclear weapons were deployed, because I don't know if you believe in the science and just trust the way things, you know, historically have come about in the official story, then basically it's an inevitable conclusion. Eventually, humanity would in some way develop to the point that they could harness nuclear technology to create weapons. Could have been gone very differently if another group of people with, you know, other ideas got the weapon first. It almost worked out perfectly, where you had this war that went on for years. Obviously, World War II, just absolutely devastating. Millions upon millions of people dead. The type of conflict that would justify the use of such a weapon, especially with Japan being utterly intractable, this iron nation, island nation that had basically programmed all of its people to believe that death was preferable to surrender. You know, they needed a real slap across the face to, you know, get a reality check across them. So the fact that we created these bombs, deployed them twice, but essentially in one instance to end
the war. And again, you know, you can debate, we can debate whether it was necessary, whether the war could come to an end regardless, whether America should have just accepted Japan's surrender with conditions rather than push for an unconditional surrender. I get that there's, you know, historical nuance in all of this, but the fact is we used the bomb essentially once, proved its effectiveness, proved what it could do, and then have not had to use it since. That's almost a miracle in the sense that you can imagine if another country got this, another group of people got this. I mean, what if the communists had gotten it first? What would the Cold War have looked like in that case? Because, you know, there was a time period, probably about a decade or so, maybe a little less, in which America was the only one with the bomb. We were essentially the empire with the Death Star and could have, if we so choose, and again, I mean, there's some debate about this, we could have like just kept going. We could have just gone, all right, well, we're the ones with the bomb now, so I guess we're in charge forever. And if anybody tries to oppose us, then we nuclear bomb them. They will never get the nuke because we'll nuclear bomb them if they ever try. And we'll just have a, you know, nation-destroying super weapon and be the uncontested leaders of the world forever. Like, that could have been a possibility if we'd chosen to go that route. We could have eliminated our geopolitical adversary, the communists, who were the only ones on the cusp of having a nuclear weapon. Of course, Israel stole a nuclear weapon from us, so maybe it was inevitable that it gets out. But the point is that it was almost a miracle that this happened in this way, that yes, it was used, so it's not questionable. It's not like, you know, they say theoretically they have this bomb. Like, no, we have it. We used it. It was devastating, and now we've never had to use it again. And if Trump were to use it this time, just think about the difference between World War II with, again, just intractable enemies, suicidal nations to a certain degree, devastating war for years on end, engulfing the entire world on every continent, more or less, except, well, especially Antarctica, if you read certain histories. And it was like at the final hour, just to close it out, to end it all, to finally just once and for all go, we're done playing footsie with you people. Time for the knockout blow. And it's like you can understand historically how humanity had been pushed to that point, that they found that acceptable and found the situation they were in impossible without it. That's not the situation here by a long shot. Essentially, what's happening here is Trump is being faced with the choice of be embarrassed that you were wrong, take a big old hit on the chin from America's enemies for the utter inadequacy and incompetence of the current war being waged, or use a nuclear bomb. So again, I just want to lay this out. People like to say, you know, well, we did it during, you know, we did it to Japan. Are you saying that was wrong? Like, kind of in a way, I'm not the most in favor of that happening, especially the areas it was targeted, specifically the most Catholic city in all of Japan. Again, there's a lot of sort of religious symbolism around the timing and placement of the bombs, the nuclear bombs to Japan. But it's such a wildly different comparison, like such an inaccurate comparison between this global, impossible, deadly conflict for years on end versus 1 month of frustration because Trump listened to liars and is now embarrassed that it's not going well. That's the worst reason I've ever heard for using a nuclear weapon. That's not even remotely justifiable. So we'll get into everything Trump has said today. He's been, I guess, wandering around giving interviews to people in the White House. But he's not Joe Biden. However, the Easter Bunny does make an appearance. Now, if you're an old InfoWars fan, you'll know during American Journal, probably our favorite clip to play of Joe Biden was him being ordered around by the Easter Bunny, because in a way it just symbolized everything about Joe Biden and America at the time, that this decrepit old weirdo was desperately trying to get contact with children, and you had the literal Easter Bunny pulling him away and ordering, you know, issuing directives to him, and he's literally taking orders from the Easter Bunny. And it's just like, yeah, we live in a Monty Python skit. We live in some sort of real world version of South Park where the president of the United States, that was it. That's it. We pull it back up. That's the exact video. Joe Biden trying to figure out what the hell's going on around him, and the Easter Bunny, sir, you're supposed to go over here, sir. He's like, oh, people, I think I'll get distracted again. Easter Bunny's like, sir, this is the Easter Bunny speaking. You must go to the podium now. What a confusing and horrifying time that must have been for the poor old man. I think I feel sorry for him now. Now we've got Trump standing next to the Easter Bunny on the balcony of the White House and basically giving like a war speech. He's talking about blowing people to smithereens and fighting, you know, the enemies of God. And there's just like a happy little Easter Bunny sitting right there. Like, okay, it's not quite the Biden level, but something has gone wrong here. Once again, why is the Easter Bunny making an appearance in these geopolitically important moments? I don't know. I don't know what to say about it, but it does feel like a South Park episode, kind of. So I don't think he's like, you know, Biden level, where he's literally getting lost in his own backyard, actually incapable of stringing a string of words together. Like, say what you want about Trump. He still knows how to put on a show. He still knows how to keep together in front of the cameras. He's not the embarrassing mess he is. He, you know, but Joe Biden was. But if he's going to use a nuke, that in and of itself is like evidence of his insanity. And again, you know, we get to, some Donnie Darko madness going on around here. Bomb Iran, Donnie. Don't you want to bomb Iran? My God. Find the South Park episode about the Easter Bunny. I mean, this thing may go all the way up to the Vatican. We don't know. We just don't know. So it's like things are insane. I don't think Trump is necessarily the insane one in all of this, but he is saying insane things. He is saying things that represent a break from reality, and it's extremely dangerous. And again, you know, there was a skit, maybe this week, maybe last week, on Saturday Night Live. There's a skit, and basically the premise, the conceit of the skit is it's the Republican Trump-supporting mom having to admit to her liberal children that she no longer support Trump. And, of course, the whole thing is, you know, Trump is kind of a madman. The kid's like, we told you, we knew. And she's like, okay, let me finish. And it's fine. Like, it's kind of funny. But the thing is, they're still wrong about all of that stuff. Like, they're still on the wrong side going back in time. It's not like retroactively they were suddenly on the right side of things. They weren't. They absolutely weren't. But it's in this weird kind of situation where previously, as of, you know, 2020, in January of 2020, and even before that, you had people like Nancy Pelosi working together with Milley, right? Milley? General Milley, I think it was. To basically deny Trump his right as the president to dictate war policy. And basically saying, we have usurped him. We have decided that we are more responsible than the American people to choose their president. And we have taken the nuclear football away from him. They admitted that. That's treason on the outset. You can't just do that. You can't just say this is a sovereign right, you know, given to you by the electoral process, but actually we think we deserve it more, and then just take it by force. That's literal treason that should have been charged. They should have been charged with treason, literally. General Milley, you know, knowing that Trump was trying to sort of wage a diplomatic, sort of hardline, aggressive campaign against China, and then contacting China and saying, don't worry about all this bluster. If anything's actually going to happen, I will tell you before it does. You don't need to worry about a surprise from Trump. Again, treason. I consider that treason. Now, I might have a different view, because now we're in war with Iran that was totally unnecessary, totally at the behest and for the sake of Israel, that is going very badly, that is destroying the world's economy. Like, this is a completely different situation. Already, it's gone terribly, and now Trump is trying to correct his own mistake by using a nuclear weapon against a civilian population. Like, okay, now we're in the realm of the 25th Amendment. Now in the realm of using the appropriate measures there in place of a situation like this to legally and lawfully and publicly out in the open, so everybody knows exactly what's happening, maybe remove the nuclear football from Trump. I think we're sort of at that crossroads. Doesn't mean that they were right back then. They were wrong back then. In fact, one of the reasons why it's important to sort of double down and make this argument. Ann Coulter put brilliantly today on X. She says, I really wish, quote unquote, legal experts hadn't screamed bloody murder about every little thing Trump ever did. So now they could speak with authority now that he's actually committing war crimes. Wouldn't that be something? It is a very evident boy who cried wolf situation where for 4 years under Trump and then the 4 years under Biden, we heard endless hyperventilating about Donald Trump. He was a madman. He's starting World War III. And it'd be like, by what? Asking Ukraine to look into corruption? Like, what the hell are you talking about? He's starting World War III because he, I don't know, wants NATO to pay their fair share. Like, endless hysterics is really what got us into this problem in the first place. Because now, Trump, and I'll show you the clips, when he's told directly, this is unpopular, this is different than it was before, he's like, I've heard this my whole career. He's sitting there going, for my entire time as a politician, people have told me what I'm doing is incredibly unpopular, but I win elections. They've told me what I'm doing is dangerous and you know, fatal, and then I win and it succeeds. So for 8 years, he was told lies about the popularity of his policies, the, you know, actual effectiveness of them. Now, at a time when we would actually need some appropriate, responsible reporting, it sounds the same as it has for the last 10 years, and no one pays attention to it. So this is your fault. So this is the left's fault, actually, at the end of the day, I hate to tell you. This is the establishment Republicans' fault, again, for crying bloody murder every time Trump did something reasonable and normal and correct when it comes to national security. Now that he's not acting in a way commiserate with national security, it would have been really nice to have like responsible, thoughtful people in that position, which again is another reason why I think it bears more weight when somebody like Alex Jones, or even myself, I would say, I've been a little bit less, you know, lenient on Trump for the last couple of years, but I still have been a diehard Trump supporter. I never abandoned him for Ron DeSantis. I never, you know, claimed it was over and he was lost after January 6th. I even understood why he would do something like Operation Warp Speed, which again, if you go back in time and watch the American Journal from 2020, we were reporting at the time the vaccine is poison before it had ever come out, right? We were telling people, look, the vaccine is poison. It's not good, but the plan of the elite was originally to have the world locked down, the world economy locked down to the point of starvation, to the point where it like could not recover. And the main strategy in that was convincing the people themselves to refuse to go back to work until they had a vaccine. So it wasn't even up to Trump. Trump could have said the lockdown's lifted, and he did like a ton of times going, the lockdown's lifted. You don't need to be scared. You got to get back to work. And the people themselves refused, because they had been propagandized by the media and the medical establishment, you should not go back to work until you get a vaccine. So that's what they were demanding. So in order to stop the economic destruction that would have led to rolling blackouts and starvation across the world and a total collapse of the global economy, Trump forced them to release the vaccine earlier. It was the same vaccine. Nothing about Operation Warp Speed changed the quality of the vaccine or what was in the vaccine. It only accelerated the schedule of deployment of the vaccine. They wanted to hold on to the vaccine, let the world economy crash, put Biden in, then release the vaccine, credit Biden with the recovery while still knowing that the economy was in such a state that it would never get fully back on its feet and would necessitate even more, you know, money injection than already was necessitated by the lockdowns they forced on Trump anyway. So again, it's like during 2020, we understood why Trump was doing something that in a perfect world, we wouldn't have wanted him to do, because we're not in a perfect world. We're in a world with human beings, many of whom believe the lies of the media and would willingly sit at home while the economy was collapsed around them waiting for the vaccine. And the pharmaceutical companies knew, we have this vaccine, it's ready to go. We could deploy it now, but we're going to wait a couple months until the economy gets that much worse, Biden gets into office, and then we'll release it. They wanted to release it on a political schedule. Trump forced them to accelerate that. Again, didn't. He didn't change the vaccine. It's not like the vaccine's bad because of Operation Warp Speed. The vaccine was deployed. Anyway, all of this is to say they can go back in time. And again, people go, you should have known in Operation Warp Speed. No, we watched in real time as Operation Warp Speed was deployed, and we knew exactly why he was doing it, even though it appeared as though, you know, he was, you know, totally in favor of the vaccine and actually believed it. The reality was he wanted people back to work and people demanded the vaccine, and he was trying to stop the deliberate collapse of the world economy that they are now achieving through him with the war in Iran. And the ultimate, you know, upshot of the war in Iran at this point being devastating economic effects for Australia, many of our allies in Europe, and of course, the respectability and power of America on the world stage. And now he's saying we're doing this for the gays. We're doing it for the gays. We have to free the gays in Iran, and they want us to. And yeah, you know, they might die, but to them, that's better than having to secretly be gay, I guess. You want to watch that? Let's go to clip 27 here. It's President Trump talking. This is the right one, right? Talking about why we have to go to war with Iran. This is just one of many things he said today. Let's watch.
They don't tell you the real facts. Women, men, gays. How about gays for Iran? They kill the gays. They throw them off buildings. So I wonder what's going on. I can only say this. They want us to keep bombing, even if it jeopardized, because their life is in much greater danger. They want freedom for Iran, but it's very hard for them to protest. I actually tell them, I said, don't go out. I fully understand. Nobody in this room would go out. I don't think there's any, because frankly, it's not a question of bravery. We're all brave, right? You're brave. I'm brave. We're all brave, but we're also intelligent. If you have people shooting at you, expert shots with the best rifles you can get, and hitting you right between the eyes every single time, and you're looking here and you're seeing and you're looking here, you're out of there. I don't care who.
So I know it was a common refrain. I didn't know how true it was. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people in Iran face severe challenges not experienced by non-LGBTQ residents. Sexual activity between members of the same sex is illegal and can be punishable by death. Contrastingly, people can legally challenge their sex at birth, though only through sex reassignment surgery, which is very interesting. Transgender identity is recognized through sex assignment surgery. Sex reassignment surgeries are partially financed and supported by the state. Some homosexual individuals in Iran have been pressured to undergo sex reassignment surgeries in order to avoid legal and social persecution for being gay. So maybe they're onto something here. I don't know. That is interesting. I don't think they throw them off buildings, though. I think that might be one of our allies. I think that might be one of our allies in the region, actually. Because you understand, it doesn't matter what they say about Iran. Anything you say about Iran being religious extremists applies even more to our dedicated allies in the region like Saudi Arabia. So this whole thing is ridiculous, but I guess just add it to the pile. It's about the nuclear weapons. We're freeing the people of Iran. Actually, we're killing the people of Iran. It's not regime change, but we are changing the regime. And actually, at the end of all of it, this is all for the sake of the gays. We're doing it all so that gay people can once and for all ruin pop culture in Iran. Finally, they'll be able to take over the classic Iranian, you know, intellectual properties. The classic, I don't know, whatever Iran's version of Star Wars is. Finally, after this war, we'll drop a nuke on them. And then, once and for all, the Luke Skywalker version, whatever Iran's version of that is, can finally be a gay man. And the world will be safe.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken Methylene Blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. I've given this to 500 people. Only 3 people didn't feel it right away. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, when I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work. Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
It looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
Personally, I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. I was telling you, I've had a little bit of a cold for the past few days, under-rested. It felt like my brain was working at 50% capacity, just felt slow. And now, what's it been, a half hour or so, it feels like I'm back up to 80%. So, yeah, that's my experience. Feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them.
You, and be honest, I know you will be. Because we're always trying to find a better methylene blue. If you've got one that's better, you said you've taken it before. Did you feel the same thing with the other methylene blue?
No, with other ones I've tried, I didn't have a perceptible difference. Yeah, didn't notice anything.
Well, I got to tell you, Bigly, I said, go find me the best. They said, this place doesn't sell it to people. They sell it for medical dyes for arteries instead of like iodine, radioactive iodine. They use this for tracking blood clots or something. And I said, okay, great. So you got to deal with them? I said, well, let me get it. And I've taken a bunch of different brands before. It didn't really do much. I was like, when I did it. And I was like, so they hit a home run with this. So you're saying you've taken, we didn't talk about this beforehand. We just asked you. You've taken others before, though, did not feel like this.
Yeah, that's true. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it.
Yeah, my understanding, you mentioned this, methylene blues, they're not all created equal. Some, I believe, are like a fish aquarium grade.
Yeah.
But they sell it to humans. So what you found, I'm stoked to really.
Look, I love Bigly. Their rule is go out and get the best. Most of our products are private label, is already top rated. So I said, get the best methylene blue. So I think we've got the best. JP's here didn't even know this backstory that you all know. You just saw what just happened to him. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Let's talk about what happened over the weekend in Iran. You know what? I never did I? I never started the day like we normally start the day. Let's do that now. Better late than never. Here it is, folks. Your daily dispatch. You can hear us. Screwing up the crew back there. Throwing them for a loop. Here it is, folks. Your daily dispatch for Monday, the 6th of April, 2026. Trump says Iran could be taken out Tuesday night, but cites efforts to negotiate. U.S. President Trump says Iran could be taken out in one night. At an 83-minute press conference, he says the U.S. has an active, willing partner to negotiations. Trump reiterates deadline, warns of Iran energy infrastructure ruin. He's extended the deadline from Monday to 8 p.m. Tuesday, midnight, GMT. Iran and the U.S. received a plan on Monday for immediate ceasefire. U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth says Monday will bring the largest volume of strikes. Iran says it wants an end to a war, not a temporary ceasefire. So again, we'll get into that and we'll show you sort of the contradictory statements from both American and Iranian sources about what has gone on there over the weekend and where the war is headed. Meanwhile, Iran has apparently rejected the ceasefire plan from InfoWars.com. Iran has apparently rejected a plan for temporary ceasefire to allow the Strait of Hormuz to be opened. An unnamed Iranian official spoke to Reuters and said the country's leadership is now considering a last-ditch plan submitted by Pakistan to prevent an escalation of hostilities. The Independent reports Tehran does not believe that Washington is ready for a permanent ceasefire, however, and will not accept being pressured to accept deadlines and make a decision, the unnamed source says. In a post on Truth Social on Saturday, President Trump said the clock is ticking on his 10-day period for negotiation. Quote, remember when I gave Iran 10 days to make a deal or open up the Hormuz Strait, he posted. Time is running out, 48 hours before all hell will rain down on them. Glory be to God. On Saturday, explosions were reported at a major petrochemical facility in Iran, with Israel claiming responsibility for them. Israel's leadership is reported to have instructed the IDF to begin targeting economic targets in Iran in a bid to cause massive financial damage to the regime. So yes, we are now just openly pursuing terrorism by targeting civilian infrastructure in order to degrade their, you know, economic well-being, something that is completely out of whack with any sort of military desire or design or ultimate goal for this operation, literally just hurting civilians and hurting the economy like a terrorist, which is just crazy if you don't understand that the ultimate goal is to literally degrade Iran to a non-functioning state so that it can be a playground for warfare forever. Meanwhile, the drive towards World War III is ever increasing in speed and intensity. Germany quietly introduced a law that prevents fighting age men leaving country without approval, which is just crazy. Practically, you know, East German style. The German government quietly passed a law in January that prevents men of fighting age from leaving the country for more than 3 months without official approval. The provision is part of an updated military service law and went largely unnoticed until a local newspaper reported it last Friday. A spokesman from Germany's defense ministry attempted to quell fears about the provision in an emailed statement saying, quote, in the case of emergency, we must know who may be residing abroad for an extended period, he said. Military service in Germany remains voluntary at present, but of course, they only wanted to prevent military-aged men from fleeing. And they're like, well, we just need to know where our people are, just not the women or old men or children, because they can't be conscripted to fight a war of choice to finally put the last nail in the coffin of the white race as we send them to war once again against each other, this time for the last time. And so, you know, do you expect to see some scenes similar to what we've seen out of Ukraine in Germany in the next few years as Germany and the rest of NATO gets involved in the wider conflict between Russia, Iran, China, and the Western bloc? Will we see German conscription officers going around and kidnapping men off the street, hauling them away and sending them to die on the front lines while the powerful and elite rob the country blind and fill the positions of the kidnapped men with Africans and Middle Easterners because they're easier to control? Or will Europe fight back and prevent the third and final world war in the series of world wars whose entire purpose from the beginning was the eradication or subjugation of the European people? I wonder. Very dangerous times that we're entering into. And again, nothing is impossible. We've literally seen it in Ukraine. Over the weekend, there was a conscription officer actually stabbed to death in Ukraine because it's getting to the point. Of course, we've seen tons of videos of people trying to fight back, you know, just literally walking down the street when a van rolls up and some conscription guys come out and tell you you're going to the front line, and the men fight with everything they've got and their wives come in and get involved. Eventually, they get hauled away to the van and sent to die in this just senseless, pointless, utterly evil war. So you'll see it in Germany. I mean, you see it in Ukraine, you'll see it in Germany if you don't step up to stop it. But in Ukraine, it's accelerating, and now people are literally fighting to the death. Because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? I mean, they institute the draft. All they're doing is saying, look, you either fight us or you fight for us and die against, you know, your enemies that aren't even really your enemies. So in that case, it's like, yeah, I'd rather wage a personal war against the draft board than go wage a war for the evil scum that runs my country against some other brutally conscripted slave on the other side. I mean, that's ridiculous. No, I'd rather fight for myself. Thank you very much. And I don't know if Europeans will share that sentiment, but certainly in America, I think that's the way a lot of us would feel. A lot of us are kind of waiting for it. We'll get back to that in just a second. Meanwhile, millions of Americans drink water contaminated with microplastics and drugs. The EPA signals it may finally act now. For the first time in its history, the U.S. EPA is considering adding microplastics and pharmaceuticals to the agency's official list of drinking water contaminants. The EPA's contaminant candidate list identifies contaminants in drinking water that aren't registered under the Safe Drinking Water Act. The agency is publishing a draft in its sixth and most recent version of the list, which is published every 5 years. The draft will be open for public comment in 60 days. The move to put those contaminants, along with the microbes and 75 other chemicals, including PFAS, could lead to more funding, more federal funding for research into their prevalence in the environment and their health effects and to the new regulatory standards, according to the EPA. Well, you're welcome to study all that all you want. The fact is, there's chemicals in the water that's making the frogs and the people gay, and it should be stopped. And now that probably to the point that it can't be stopped, that we are thoroughly and totally saturated with these chemicals, now they'll come out and pretend that they care. Thank you, guys. Thank you for pretending to do something just after it would have been nice for you to do it. NATO Secretary General to meet with POTUS and attend a 2026 Bilderberg meeting in Washington, D.C. next week. With President Donald Trump repeatedly bashing NATO in recent weeks and threatening to remove America from the group, NATO Secretary Mark Rutte is planning a visit to D.C. this week, where he will meet with POTUS and attend other events. After talking with the president on Wednesday, Rutte will speak at an event hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation Institute on Thursday and the 2026 Bilderberg meeting from Friday to Sunday. And once again, I just encourage you, if you are new to any of this, just go back and search what the BBC and others were saying about the Bilderberg meeting in like the late 90s. They literally claimed it didn't exist and that you were a bad person, probably an anti-Semite, certainly a conspiracy theorist if you thought such a thing ever could happen. And this is just one of innumerable instances where the first response is the accurate one. The first response, when you're told that a bunch of billionaires, world leaders, kings, queens, princes, princesses, heads of banks, entertainment moguls, when they all get together to plot in secret, plan the world events for the next year, that sounds crazy. And if your first response is like, that's insane, and if that was true, we'd have to do something about it, and it would be an outrage, and people wouldn't stand for it. And it's like, yeah, that's the right response. Of course, the reaction from the mainstream media is to say, that's not true. How could it be true? If it was true, that would be insane. But then you sort of go, well, all right, so they do meet, but it's not like anything crazy. And like, okay, so they are planning world events. They are sort of plotting the course of their cabal for the next year, but that's fine, but that's good, and you're bad for questioning it now. So this is just a constant in our line of work. The good news is that InfoWars is firmly rooted, founded, cemented in foundational principles of this country. That means that while the ever-shifting vicissitudes of modern life in America can completely and totally alter the world around us, we remain unchanged. And it's fascinating, completely fascinating, because we've gone back. We have reverted to like late 90s, early 2000s, when once again, InfoWars are the conservative America First patriots saying this war overseas in the Middle East is wrong. It's not beneficial to us. It's not predicated on anything real. It's being waged by our enemies to weaken us. And once again, we have the neocon conservative pro-war, dumbass New World Order telling us we're un-American, telling us we're actually Islamic or something. And it's just like, oh, so we're back. So we're back to George W. Bush. We really have gone full circle. And now we're being called the same names we were called back then. And this is a process that InfoWars has gone through. And frankly, it is kind of funny when you really look at it. Because we, again, have principles, have beliefs, have, you know, pretty rock solid foundation in the things we believe and the reason we believe them. And that really hasn't changed much at all. Yeah, there's Alex Jones saying what you voted for versus what you got with Donald Trump and then George W. Bush with the Trump haircut. It's absolutely true and absolutely infuriating and upsetting. But like, how many times have we been told that we've sold out or it's just embarrassing. It really is. It really is embarrassing what Trump is going through right now. What he's putting the world through. It's all embarrassing. But I was trying to think, like, you know, InfoWars starts out, you know, totally pure, having these ideas about the coming technocracy, about the invasion of surveillance, about the way that the terrorist fear mongering would lead to the destruction of our Bill of Rights and the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. And, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s, we were called communists. We were called far leftists because we opposed things like the Patriot Act, because we understood the lies that got us in to the war in Iraq. We were called, you know, you're not with us, you're against us thing, right? You're not in favor of us destroying our empire and wasting lives and billions of dollars to kill a bunch of people who were our allies 10 years ago. Then you must be a secret Muslim agent. It's just like, okay, dude, sure. You're the ones who are the patriots. It's just every decision you make just so happens to leave America weakened and vulnerable. Gee, what a coincidence. But then, you know, it goes through the ringer, right? Then Trump comes along, is saying the same things that we've been saying the whole time. It's actually on the debate stage, on the first debate, pointing directly to the other Bush. Can't think of his name right now. Jeb, that's his name. Jeb Bush. And saying, you know, your brother lied, got us into this war. There were no weapons of mass destruction. And it was like, okay, hallelujah, this is it. We got a guy who's a Republican that gets it. Because again, this is the same dichotomy we're dealing with today. We were dealing with back then where it was like, okay, you're either on the side of the warmongering psychopath morons who, you know, want, oh, look, he didn't get Greenland. You notice that? You're either on their side or you're a leftist, you know, whatever. You're a far left communist. We were stuck in that dichotomy too. So finally Trump shows up and it's like a conservative, pro-America, patriot, wants to shut the border and understands that the wars in the Middle East are retarded. Like, this is great. This is it. This is the guy. And so then we're told, you know, first it's like, oh, you're communist. You're un-American for not supporting the war in Iraq. And then it's like, you've sold out because you support the, you know, presidential candidate that believes the same things you do. You've sold out. Now you're all Trump sicko fans. And then it's like, oh, but you were sued for Sandy Hook, and so now you sold out because of your bankruptcy, and that's why you're not going against Trump, but now you're in favor of Elon Musk buying X. You've sold out to Elon Musk. Oh, now you're going against Trump, and you've sold out to the, and it's just like, how about we've just literally had the same position the entire time? And no matter who's in charge, no matter who's operating, we look at the facts, we look at the actual reality, we make our choices, our analysis, and our decisions based on that, always and forever, filtering it through the filter of, is this good for the American people, the American nation, and the world at large? It's not actually that complicated. So you can claim these bizarre or ulterior motives that you just pull out of your butt. So I can't even figure out where you come up with this crap. The boomers especially put out a video actually about this on X today. The selective application of the ability to divine, determine ulterior motive, right? Where it's like, I get if you are looking at a literal Muslim person that's like an immigrant to this country and they like are clearly operating from a position of Islam is their priority. They don't actually care that much about America, but really want Israel to succeed. And, you know, you see them talking about like, well, we shouldn't go to war with Iran because blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all right, are you saying this because it's best for America, or are you saying it because you're motivated by some sort of loyalty to the Ummah, right? Loyalty to the, you know, Muslim brotherhood you feel with other people, not Muslim brotherhood, the political entity. But I can kind of understand. Now, really what the question is what they're saying true? And if it is, great. If it's not, okay, now you kind of look for ulterior motives. Why would they be lying like this? I don't know what I can tell you. There's nobody more American than me. It's physically and literally impossible, okay? It's like actually, like technically, it's not possible. Unless you are a direct descendant of Christopher Columbus himself. You can't get more American than the Mayflower, right? You can't get more Texan than the old 300. We do literally the first people, all right? I'm directly descended from them. My family's been here since the 1700s. I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have any other reason for there to be divided loyalty. Who would I be loyal to other than America? What are you talking about? I'm a Christian. I'm a Protestant. I'm not loyal to the Vatican. I'm not loyal to the Catholics and all the international machinations they get up to. I'm loyal to the Episcopalian Church, the Church of England, well, the Anglican Church now, because the Episcopalian Church and the Church of England has gone off the rails, unfortunately. Yeah, that's what I said. I'm a Mayflower American, eighth generation Texan. What else did I say? I forgot already. And you've got people who will accuse me of being a Muslim operative or of being a leftist in disguise. Person who's worked at InfoWars for 10 years and was like, literally, I've posted, search on my ex about an essay I wrote because I was going through, my mom brought a big box up of stuff from our attic. And in it is essays I'd written as a junior in high school about how illegal immigration was killing our country and we have to find a better solution to get these people out of here. Like, me, you think I was writing essays in high school as part of my long-term undercover operation to pretend to be a conservative until this moment when I could betray America for the sake of Qatar or Iran or whoever the hell else you think I'm? It's insane. But the reason it's so insane, the real reason I'm getting into all this, not just about saying like I'm more American than you, which I am, but that's not the point. The point is these people will see somebody like Ben Shapiro or Mark Levin or Randy Fine, and it's like they can't even fathom, they won't even approach, they can't even just as a, you know, exercise, as a rhetorical practice. Let's just pretend that this guy might have some ulterior motives, and they're just like, how dare you? How dare you blemish patriot Mark Levin's, you know, utterly perfect record of American nationalism. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about? You literally believe Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin are more loyal to America than me? You're insane. Okay? This is what I mean. Part of me sits there and goes, maybe they're just gullible. Maybe they're just dumb. Maybe they just, if you just say that you're for America, they just believe you. But that's obviously not true, because when it comes to any sort of Muslim person or anybody like me who might occasionally say stuff that is just true about the war in Iran, just is. And it's immediately not only like that I am a leftist, I actually hate America. I actually hate Jews the most. And I've been tricked by the Muslims. And it's just like, what the hell are we talking about here? The easiest interpretation would be like, well, look, this guy's a Jewish supremacist. He's a Israeli first. It's literally all he talks about all of the time. They wear a Israeli flag pin. Hell, you've got people like Brian Mast in the United States Congress wearing an IDF uniform, big Star of David flag on his wall. No American flag to be found. And they can't possibly conceive, they can't even give credence to the idea that maybe, just maybe, that guy doesn't have America's best interest in mind. Meanwhile, when he's literally just like, America must go to war for us. I mean, for Israel, you know, and it's like, and they just can't see it. They just can't see the ulterior motive there. So you think like, maybe they're just idiots. Maybe they're just gullible. Maybe they just don't see what's going on here. Then you've got a guy like me being like, hey, you know, Iran actually can still launch missiles. They're actually, their missile ability has not been degraded to the degree that Trump says it was. And they're just like, oh, so you are a secret Muslim. I get it now. You're a secret Muslim that wants to kill all the Jews and you hate America and want to see us destroyed. And it's like, what the hell is going on here? Honestly, what is going on in their brains? How have they gotten this brainwashed? It genuinely is insane and stopping us from actually solving any problems, because you can't express the truth with these people. They're too far gone. And that's unfortunate, because it's those types of people that are surrounding Trump and forcing all of this. So we'll go to one of these videos of Trump explaining what's going on here. And in fact, let's go to clip 35 here. This is Trump asking why he's engaged in the terrorist bombing of civilian infrastructure when it has no strategic value whatsoever. Let's see what he says.
Mr. President, how would it not be a war crime to strike Iran's bridges and power plants?
Because they killed 45,000 people in the last month, more than that. It could be as much as 60. They killed protesters. They're animals. And we have to stop them, and we can't let them have a nuclear weapon. Very simple. They want a nuclear weapon. They've been trying for a long time. I stopped them with the Obama horrible Iran nuclear deal. I stopped them in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, literally everything he says is backwards. And again, it just makes no sense. And I mean, maybe the most amazing, add it to the list, I guess, but between 40 beheaded babies in ovens during October 7th to 45, hell, let's go with 60,000 protesters murdered by their government. It's like they have done nothing to try to prove this. It's just something they said. Again, like this is as if. And it's probably still the case. This is as if you ask, you know, as if they're still going, hey, we had to go to war with Iraq. They had babies in incubators. It's like, at least they put on the show for that. At least they had the girl go to the UN and give the tearful account of, oh my God, babies in incubators. They're pulling them out and throwing them on the ground. Kuwait, we have to go to war with Iraq. Like, at least they put the effort in. In this case, they literally just, the day before the assault, when, hey, let's just say they killed 30,000 of their own people and that's why we're doing this. Like, okay, let's do that. If you believe that has anything to do with anything or that it even happened in the first place, is complete madness and retardation, especially when you understand that at this point, it's been admitted by Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, the New York Times, and absolutely everybody that the so-called protests themselves were in fact manufactured by Mossad to overthrow the Iranian government. What the hell are we talking about? You tried to stage a coup in Iran. They killed 3,000 of your enemy agents trying to start a revolution. You multiplied that by 10 or 12 or whatever you want. Now that's the official number and it's unquestionable. And that's why we went to war with Iran, even though it never happened and the war preparations were in place for years before that ever happened. Please, for the love of God, can we wake up? They wouldn't be able to say these lies if people didn't believe them. People didn't go along with them or just pretend to believe them because it's advantageous, which I think is the case with a lot of boomers out there. Well, I want to go to war with Iran and this is the lie I got to tell to get us there. Then it's a good lie. Very Israeli way of thinking. We'll be right back.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandrestore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
folks. The war continues. I want to go through this. We're going to be joined, by the way, in this hour by Anthony Kevin, also known as Danks from Dankster Intel. He's going to talk to us about a lot of research he's done into the infiltration of our media sphere here in America. Very excited to talk to him. But I want to go through this rundown. I think this is accurate as far as I can tell from Ahmed Bertrand on X. This is just sort of a quick rundown, quick timeline of the statements made and the events as laid out by the authorities as to the rescue of the downed pilot in Iran. So he says, if I got this right, here's the narrative. And a U.S. F-15E fighter jet got shot down over Iran despite Trump saying 2 days beforehand in his nationwide address that Iran has no anti-aircraft equipment, that their radar is 100% annihilated. The plane's war weapons systems officer, a, quote, highly respected colonel, according to Trump, ejected from the plane and got seriously wounded. Still, all this according to Trump. He still managed to hike up a 7,000-foot mountain ridge line and hide in a crevice of the Zagros Mountains despite his wounds. U.S. MQ-9 Reaper drones started killing all Iranian military-aged males believed to be a threat who got within 3 kilometers of the American's location. To retrieve him, the U.S. managed to seize an abandoned airport 200 miles deep inside Iran near Isfahan, which happens to be where Iran's largest atomic scientific center is located. They landed 2 MC-130 military transport planes in that aircraft, in that airport, in an operation involving hundreds of special forces troops and military personnel. Both MC-130 planes got stuck in the sand, and the U.S. destroyed them themselves to prevent them falling into Iranian hands. They deployed 3 new aircraft to extract all the U.S. personnel on the ground. There are videos circulating online of heavy clashes with presumably Iranian missiles raining down on this county in the Zagros Mountains during the night. Iran sent pictures of the aftermath at the abandoned airport and its site of utter destruction. That's the B-roll I added earlier, guys. We can play that. With U.S. plane and MHC helicopter parts scattered all over the ground, still smoking, Iran claims they are the ones who, in fact, destroyed all the aircraft. Meanwhile, a second U.S. plane, A-10 Warthog, also crashed on Friday near the Straits of Hormuz, according to U.S. officials speaking to the NYT. In that instance, too, the lone pilot was apparently safely rescued. In all of this, after the multiple planes and helicopters destroyed or shot down, the documented heavy clashes, the, quote, hundreds of special force troops and military personnel operating deep inside Iran, not a single U.S. soldier was reported killed or even wounded, according to Trump. And this highly respected colonel that this was all for, there's never been a name, photo, or interview released. Nobody's spoken to him or know who he is. So to sum it all up, anti-aircraft equipment that supposedly did not exist, shot down an F-15 and apparently an A-10 Warthog the same day, a seriously wounded man climbed up a 2.1-kilometer mountain, the U.S. seized an airfield 200 miles inside a country it's at war with next to one of its most strategic nuclear sites, and deployed hundreds of troops that all apparently unimpeded. They lost 2 planes to, quote-unquote, sand, and destroyed their own helicopters. Videos show heavy clashes, missiles raining down, but not a single person got even wounded. And the man at the center of it all, nobody knows who he is, completely anonymous, 0 pictures. But Trump says he's safe and sound. Also, so is the rescued A-10 Warthog pilot, who also remains anonymous. Trump concludes, this all proves that America has achieved overwhelming air dominance and superiority over the Iran skies, despite the whole episode only happening because Iran shot his planes out of the sky in the first place. Basically, the only thing that's overwhelming here is the audacity of the storytelling. And from Iran, they've issued a completely different series of statements, photos, and updates. In fact, photos showing a C-130 body hollowed out with a human skull inside, hinting that maybe at least one person seems like they've died. The images that have come out of the destroyed C-130s show that the propeller rotors are bent, which means they likely were slammed into the ground while still spinning, meaning that it would have been a crash of a plane, not a plane on the ground being destroyed on purpose by its own people to prevent it from falling into the enemy's hands. Because obviously if the propellers are spinning and it crashes and the propellers hit the ground while still spinning, it's going to bend the blades in exactly the way that has been exposed in some of the photos. Iran also claims to have received personal papers, a visa or passport of sorts of one of the people on the flights, who was in fact an Israeli-American nuclear engineer.
What's this?
Oh, I've got power plant.
Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Get wide awake with Harrison Smith live on the War Room right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna take a quick pause here. We're going to stop talking about the Iran war, and we're going to start talking about what got us to the Iran war, how we found ourselves in this situation, with my guest, Anthony Kevin, better known as Danks from Dankster Intel. Anthony Kevin, better known as Danks from at Dankster Intel, is a full-stack AI developer pushing the bleeding edge of technology while moonlighting as one of the sharpest independent researchers out there. He's the founder behind Americans for Transparency and the mind behind Dankster Intelligence Apparatus, where he drops deep investigative dives into nonprofit funding, media influence, and the inner workings of major conservative organizations. If you want unfiltered receipts and data-driven analysis that cuts through the noise, you're in for a treat if you visit AmericansForTransparency.org. That's AmericansForTransparency.org. Find Dankster on X at Dankster Intel and on YouTube, Instagram, and Rumble. Secondary Clips channel can be found on YouTube at Danks Clips. Danks, welcome to the show, sir.
Harrison, thanks for having me. It's a privilege to be here. Big fan of the show and lots to talk about, man. This is, in my mind, is breaking news. This is very important information, even though it's been on the internet, you know, it's just been sitting there waiting for someone to come out and really dive all the way in. And fortunately I did that.
So what have you discovered? What do people need to know about their favorite conservative influencers?
Well, there's a company called Clock Tower X LLC. It's registered as a foreign agent for the government of Israel. So essentially in the FARA document, it states that they are to integrate messaging directly into Salem Media and also aligned properties. And what's interesting about that and what I want people to understand is it's not just about Brad Parscale. He is the principal of this. He basically owns and he has multiple other websites. They do AI manipulation and bias on behalf of their business. And they also do geofencing on American churches. But that's really the surface. What's underneath is a systems level argument about how foreign government really doesn't need to buy politicians anymore. They don't need to bribe anybody. They don't need to back channel diplomacy. What they figured out is far more elegant and really it's dangerous for our country. They buy the architecture. Think about Salem Media and what it actually is. It's not just a radio network. Salem is the ideological distribution infrastructure of really conservative and Christian conservative Americans, the right American, you know, political right, whatever you want to say, it reaches tens of millions of people every single week across radio, podcasts, digital properties, television, ads. And so when Salem speaks, it speaks to the audience that elects presidents, especially our president today. So it shapes what the audience believes is true, what is moral and what is worth fighting for. But the problem is it's coming from Israel and it's actually infiltrated on the inside through the documentation as a foreign registered agent. The thing is Salem Media itself is not registered and the chief strategy officer is Brad Parscale working hand in hand with the future of Salem Media and their architecture and the work that is being put out through Salem Media and aligned. Remember, it's not just Salem Media, it's aligned properties. So where does that stop? Not just that, Don Trump Jr. and Lara Trump own significant stake inside of Salem Media. Not just that, Salem Media owns 30% of MXM, Don Jr.'s business, you know, his app. So they're business married. So the White House's family is business married with a company that's doing the largest conservative media apparatus in this country. And they're doing the bidding of Israel.
So I want to get into, this is all bombshell stuff, and I want to get into how exactly this happens. I mean, are they giving them talking points? Are they publishing, you know, promoting or paying for certain things to run versus other things? Like, I want to get into like the nitty gritty of how this happens. But yeah, in case people don't know, just to quote your tweet, which people can find on your X at Dankster Intel. Did you know that the Charlie Kirk Show, Josh Hammer, Dennis Prager, Laura Trump, Larry Elder, Hugh Hewitt, Dinesh D'Souza, Sebastian Gorka, Brandon Tatum, and Todd Starnes all broadcast on a network whose chief strategy officer is a federally registered foreign agent for the Israeli government. So again, when you're talking about these people, you're talking about some of the biggest names in quote unquote conservative media. And as we know, I mean, we hear a lot about democracy and its modern manifestation. Democracy essentially means rule by the media because the media decides what the people know and people make decisions on the basis of the information they have. So, you know, really, democracy at this point is ruled by the media. If our media is ruled by a foreign actor, that's a problem. That's a very big problem.
Yeah, it is a very big problem. And really, to answer what you're saying is the way the money moves, okay? So the money starts with the state of Israel, specifically the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And they're operating on this Hasbara budget, which we've heard of is like $729 million. This budget that I found within all of these documents, it's on my American for Transparency website, $150 million in 2025, and now a 20 times increase from pre-war levels to this 2026 Hasbara budget of roughly $729 million. And that is not a public diplomacy budget. This is a warfare budget. So when you have the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs, they don't write checks directly to American influencers or the conservative media companies. That would be too clean. It's too traceable, too legally exposed. The problem though, that is in the FARA documents, they're supposed to state which Salem media properties or influencers or podcasters are actually receiving, this messaging and being conveyed out, but they are not documenting that. So this is actually a FARA violation. So they are already violating the law stated by FARA. The problem is Pam Bondi dismantled the oversight, right? So now it's just gone to civil instead of federally criminal, lawsuits or whatever it could be. So it goes from the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and then there's three intermediaries. And then from those intermediaries, two of them are Havas Media, one Germany, one in US. And then they filter through the money. And if you scroll down on my website, there's a interactive map and it shows exactly how the money flows. So it's got Israel on top, the three intermediaries. So the money flows from Israel into those three intermediaries. And then you've got like 12 to 15 branches of companies that are all doing certain particular things, right? Salem Media is within the Clock Tower ecosystem, okay? But there's also other companies that are doing the same thing. You have Show Faith by Works. You have all the you have the companies that are paying influencers $7,000 a month. I mean, when you talk about, when we hear about all of these things happening, the truth is it is actually happening. But it's a much more sophisticated way because they're coming at all angles. It's not just, oh, they're giving talking points. It's not just, oh, they're paying $7,000 a post. It's all of that. Plus they're geofencing mega churches. There's over 300 mega churches in the Southwest in the United States. What they do is they actually manipulate the AIs. If you go inside the church and they can track, trace, and create a social map with their AI architecture. That's one part of it. They can manipulate if your pastor is using AI. They can manipulate the AI if the pastor is looking for certain passages. I mean, it goes all the way to the core of American Christian conservatives. And the way that the stream goes is it was $6 million for Clock Tower X LLC. They increased it to $9 million. They rewrote They made an amendment on December, I think, 26th of 2025 to $9 million. So that was exclusively for digital advertising. Parscale, the principal on this, his mandate is under the contract is literally integrating narrative messaging into Salem Media Network properties. And that's Salem's chief strategy officer, Parscale himself. So the money flows from Israel through German intermediary or American intermediary into an American LLC whose managing member simultaneously holds a senior strategic role at a media company in which the Trump family holds equity. You know, so that's stream one. And then you have stream two goes to Show Faith by Works LLC. That's Fara number 7653, if I'm correct. They've got over $3 million and their stated mission is what I just said is to geofence 303 American mega churches and Christian universities and track communication devices of people. And I'm going to quote from the filing here directly is positive associations with the nation of Israel while portraying the Palestinian population as extremists or anybody defending or saying that, Palestine should also have a right to exist as extremists. Okay. So this is from their own documentation. And you also have Bridges Partners LLC. These are the three main ones that are kind of working in conjunction. There you go. There's that map there. They have almost $1 million. Their number is 7652, fair number, budgeted for 900K. And, if anybody ever goes there, you could click one of those blue buttons there and it would show right on the side. It shows you could talk to the AI agent that I built, or you could click the Fara documents there. You could ask whatever. So you could have a full on conversation. It's trained all on the information there, you know? So Wow. There's like the Canary mission you just pulled up. They're not registered. You know what I mean? And that's a major problem. We know what the Canary mission's been up to.
Oh yeah.
So, you know,
This is an incredible website. I'd seen the video that you made that went totally viral, but I had not been to your website yet. That's AmericansForTransparency.org that we're looking at there. Go to that myself.
Yes, sir.
AmericansForTransparency.org. It's a great name, and you are bringing the transparency. So, yeah, this is incredibly sophisticated. I mean, this is an industry at this point. Obviously, it's been operating for a while. Now the manifestation it currently exists in is very refined and they're very good at what they do and they know what they're doing. Can you tell me, do you have any knowledge? Like, let's say I got a job at Salem Media. What would, you know, and I'm there, I'm a host and I'm having a meeting or something. What would my interaction with these groups be? Would they be telling me things to say, directing me where to cover stuff? Like, how does this actually work when we get how the money flows, but once the rubber meets the road, how does this influence, manifest?
Yeah. I mean, well, if you see, and if you start to pay attention to, we all hear the same talking points, right? We've seen it with Candace multiple times, right? It's a lot like that where one principal or one major company or podcast station, like the Charlie Kirk Show, that's actually their number one podcasting station, they'll put out something and then they will spread that messaging. And sometimes it's going to be so covert in a way to where the influencer or the podcaster themselves might not even know, right? But so say if you work at Salem or if you work for Salem, you're not going to get a call from Brad Parscale. You're probably never even going to see a memo that says anything about Israeli government messaging. You almost certainly never see a dollar amount or any particular thing that's tied to this. But what you see is something that looks pretty much normal, right? Something that looks like editorial guidance, something that looks like the natural culture of the organization that you work for or aligned with. So the operational pipeline actually functions based on what the contract tells us. And under the Clock Tower X LLC, it says it's required to deliver a comprehensive narrative framework and messaging blueprint in month one with ongoing monthly updates to messaging and framing based on data insights and guidance audience testing. So they are also required to deliver monthly influence and network maps, identifying high impact voices, communities, and distribution nodes. And really the last phrase is key there is high impact voices, distribution nodes. That is corporate language for we have identified which people inside the media properties have the most reach, and we are mapping how to move narrative through them. And so, you know, when you have a group of people, we could just kind of humanize it, right? Like if we have a group of people and we all are kind of on the same team, if you will, and maybe we watched that show and we watched this other show. If you start hearing some of these people saying these things, you will end up regurgitating them if you ideologically feel that you align with that. So it's very covert. Like I said, they might not even know. That's the thing. So again, nobody really questions what a CSO does, a chief strategy officer does. They really just think that this person is just aligned for the best future of the company, but Brad Parscale is in charge of the growth opportunities shaped on behalf of what they're trying to do is shape bias around Israel. And because Parscale's team is running monthly sentiment analysis, he runs artificial intelligence, AI, SEO manipulation. There's something that he does called generative engine optimization. That's how they manipulate the AI. And the way this works, like, think about this. You're in this network and you're in this group. They have the ability to see what you're talking about. Your audience will start basically putting things in the chat, putting things in the comments, and then they're able to build websites around that. And the way AI works, it's not like SEO with keywords and like ranking on Google. The AI actually looks for the most influential voices, but actually in text on the internet. And so what happens is the AIs, especially shaped around the culture themselves, they will start putting out, if you go to, I have a bunch of websites I could send you from Brad Parscale's Clock Tower X LLC. They actually make like what looks like news reports, but it's just biased actually. Mm-hmm. And they just flood the entire internet with this bias based off of what the audience is saying. And then by the time it gets to someone like Josh Hammer and he's looking it up in AI and what somebody said on the Charlie Kirk show, then it's already been flooded with these fake news articles from like dozens of websites, hundreds of pages. And the AI will choose that because it feels that it's an authority in the space. Mm. It is very meticulous and it is very deep. And I still am trying to understand it, but it's not as easy as, oh, you're getting paid by Israel and this is what you need to say. It is not that.
It's a lot more sophisticated than that, because obviously part of it is hiding that influence. You don't want everybody coming out and saying it outright. But of course, one of the bizarre things about this is you're not speculating. You're not just pointing to what these people say and say, they might be paid by Israel. I mean, they're registered under FARA. It's not up for debate whether this is a foreign, you know, thing happening here. It is, and it's Israel doing it. Is there nothing in the FARA, like once you register at FARA, can you just do whatever any other group can? Or is there some sort of requirement to, you know, tell people that you're working for a foreign country? Because it seems like that might be useful when they're reporting something to say, oh, by the way, I'm an agent for Israel when I'm saying this. Is there any, you know, requirement to tell the truth about where this information is coming from to the people who are getting the information, the audience?
Well, historically, yes, there has been, and there still is a requirement, especially from the company that is conveying the messaging and distributing the money. So they are supposed to say who they're giving the money to, and they are supposed to also state how much they're paying and what the messaging narrative is, and then the terms of that agreement. However, the only thing that they're showing in the document at this time, which, like I said at the beginning of this segment here that you brought me on, is that they're not doing that. They're not fully breaking down the information piece by piece by piece. All they've said is Salem Media Network properties and aligned properties or aligned networks. So that is a violation and they are breaking the law. But they have Bondi, who has just been terminated, that I feel like her job has been complete. That's why she's gone. She's dismantled all these different things. Some very important organizations like the oversight committees or the oversight for FARA. And now that's actually not a law that people are going to be looking to go and plant that onto the website when they know nobody's going to come after them anymore. I hate even saying that out loud, but people need to know it. I don't want to say it because I don't want these other government or people that are the companies are like, oh, well, we don't have to file. And then they go and look. Maybe they find out for me. It's true, though. And Americans need to know that we are being propagandized from the inside while the Trump family name is an owner of a company. And what's interesting is Brad Parscale was there before Trump Jr. got in, before he got his equity stake. And then 8 months later, while Don Jr. is there and owns stake, then Bradley Parscale, not only the CSO, starts the company in August of 2025, registers in September. And then that's actually September 18th, 8 days after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Mm-hmm. They were registered under FARA. So Don Jr. was there the whole time. There's no doubt in my mind that he knows that this is going on. So this is, like I said before, infiltration from the inside at the highest levels. And I feel like we're completely sold out.
This would not be difficult to understand if it was Democrats. Let's just put it that way. If Republicans were, you know, presented a bunch of information showing that a bunch of Democrat, you know, media people were being paid to, you know, shape their message from the, and it was the Obama campaign, you know, Obama's son was the, you know, Biden, you know, it was Hunter Biden running this. This wouldn't be confusing at all. So I think it's pretty clear if you don't approach this with any sort of bias, just how malignant this is, just how, you know, negative this influence is. And of course, as you point out in your tweet that I was reading from earlier, since Pam Bondi dissolved the Foreign Malign Influence Center at the DOJ, there's nobody left to enforce it. And that is a very big deal. You also get into how Pam Bondi herself has a lot of connections to Qatar. We'll get to that in just a second. But sticking with Israel, I mean, this is one aspect of a massive industry. Like, even this industry is massive. We're talking about nearly $1 billion from this one source, $729 million from this one source for Hasbro content. But this is one small drop in the bucket to the overall influence campaign that's being pushed right now. How big is this compared to some of the other ones that we know about, AIPAC, this sort of stuff?
I mean, this is probably the most impactful besides AIPAC. AIPAC is probably the reason why AIPAC is so impactful is because it doesn't matter what everyone says. They are complete. The politicians are bought out, right? There's no, like, we're not paying them money except for their tax money, which is their salary, but they're getting this fat ass bonus on top of what basically minimum, you know, 50,000 and average mid six figures and upwards of millions of dollars. Right. We've all seen track AIPAC. We know how much these people are getting paid. Even Tulsi Gabbard has taken six figures from AIPAC. They're all compromised. Okay. So AIPAC is significant. However, when you talk about getting to the entire country, this is the most prolific, I would say, because 100%. You're on every single person's phone, their TV, their grandparents, their kids. I mean, the Charlie Kirk show, man. Think yeah. about how many people and kids and young students were following or are or were following that messaging. And then behind the scenes, since 2019, they've been rolling with Salem Media. And then since 2025, this person that's already planning.
They've been totally infiltrated. I'm sorry, we got to go to commercial break. We'll be back on the other side. Yeah. This is absolutely incredible stuff from my guest known as Danks from Dankster Intel. Dankster Intel on X. Incredible stuff. We're going to pick up right there on the other side. You're not going to want to miss the second half.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So you get it and you like it and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigly, our sponsor, has a really high quality private label, top selling brand that we were able to private label. We're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high quality zeolite. Please do your own research and then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner zeolite detox defense. Advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like
crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now, please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything, thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, if you order whatever you order at thealexjonesstore.com, you get a free gift in every order. And a lot of our products, all of our products are on sale at one time or another. Right now, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit Caps and Gummies, MK Ultra, and Atomic Defense can all be purchased for 40% off. You're getting 35% off the Colostrum and Life Force, 30% off the iodine tincture, methylene blue tincture, methylene red tincture, and the creatine powder. So massive discounts on some of our most popular products. And every order you place comes with a free gift right now at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. And with that, that's how we get funding. That's how we get paid, by you. If you like what we do here, you go to the website and get a fantastic product, love the product, keep ordering it. It's a symbiotic relationship that everybody benefits from. But today we're talking about how other media companies might make their money and decide what to talk about. Have you looked into InfoWars? Maybe you should look into, are we doing anything under the table? Discovered.
My audio is disconnected.
His audio is disconnected, guys. There's probably a problem. I wanted to talk to Danks during the commercial break. So I asked to connect.
There we go. Right. I can hear you now.
Sorry, that was my fault. I was just asking, I was just singing our own praises of InfoWars that we are unencumbered by this type of manipulation. Have you found anything about InfoWars? Are we operating under the table? Are we getting influenced by anybody?
No, I actually looked. I haven't found anything, and I'm happy to say that. So far, so good. But don't, I won't say I can't stop looking, but for now,
keep
it looks like you're clean, right? So.
Well, I'd love to know if I'm being influenced by somebody without my knowledge. I think that would be impossible in the way that things work around here. But it's true. Most other places, they're getting money from other people. They're getting talking points from other people, and you have laid it out really in a very impressive way. And I've just been scrolling your website, AmericansForTransparency.org. It's a very robust website with all these awesome sort of applications built in. I'm going through you have like this flow chart, the interactive investigation map. I mean, this is very cool, and people could really dig down on this and do their own research using the tools you've provided. Again, my guest is Anthony Kevin, known as Danks from Dankster Intel. You can follow them on X at Dankster Intel, and you can find their clips on YouTube, Instagram, and Rumble there as well, with a secondary clips channel on YouTube called at Danks Clips. And one of your clips went super viral recently, talking about Salem Media and the manipulation that goes on there. And you know, we were talking about AIPAC at the very end there, and that the AIPAC money is sort of overwhelming. And when you look at, you know, things like track AIPAC as an X account, that documents that stuff. But for one thing, people sort of know where they're coming from. And so at this point, AIPAC is so unpopular, they're trying to hide their contributions through third party Kentucky MAGA PAC, that type of thing. So they're deeply unpopular. But I've always held that it wasn't about the money that AIPAC could give you. It was about the connections. Once you get the gold star from AIPAC, yeah, you're getting money, which is nice for a campaign. But really, now you're entered into this giant network where you can get on the big shows and get the big endorsements. I mean, AIPAC and really all of these organizations, there's a lot of money there. But really, it's about this sharing of influence, the you know, cultivating of popularity, things like that, right? I mean, can you talk a little bit about the way this stuff works beyond the money, but the influence peddling that happens?
Yeah, I mean, when you see somebody that's sitting on, for example, like say we have some more important things, right? Like, because AIPAC is obviously a visible, politically toxic face of Israel influence in American politics. Everyone knows what AIPAC is, right? Everyone knows what they do. AIPAC writes the checks to the politicians and so on. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene said it herself on the record that they're a liability, right? That they're crossing party lines. And, you know, but if your most visible influence tool has become a political liability, if merely being associated with AIPAC is now enough to cost a political vote or politician's vote, what do you do instead, right? You build something that doesn't look like influence at all. You build something that looks like media, okay? Right. So this is the fundamental strategic difference between what AIPAC gives and what Salem and Clock Tower X LLC and Salem by association, of course, in the FAIR documents and Align Networks. This is what they're delivering, is this ultimately transactional, bilateral, dependent on the willingness of the politicians to accept the transaction and survive the political cost of being seen accepting it. That cost is rising. So Salem is giving that something completely different, which is exponentially more valuable. It gives legitimacy without visibility. Mm-hmm. All right. So think about what legitimacy means in the context of an American conservative Christian. Salem is not just a media company to the audience. It is a trusted, it's a lot like Fox and, you know, but it's breached past the boomer stage, right? You've got a lot of these talking heads that you've mentioned in my post, Josh Hammer, you know, even what's crazy is I watched Sean Hannity on the PBD show. Sean Hannity is guilty by association, and he's been on many, many Salem shows and podcasts, all right? And he spews the same rhetoric, the same stuff. And he sat in PBD's chair when PBD was not there that day. And they spent 2 hours drilling the same talking points. So that influence, when you see somebody who's been in the game as long as Sean Hannity has.
She looks like we,
a lot of these people, you know,
okay,
maybe
sorry,
we don't,
sorry, you,
maybe you
do look
dropped
up to
out. That person, but.
Sorry, Danks, you dropped out for a second there. If you could pick up, you said, you know, when you see somebody with Sean Hannity that's been in the game this long,
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, when you see him been in the game this long and you see And say you perhaps have watched him. You're young, maybe you're my age or you're a little older, you're in your mid 40s and you're doing political commentary. And then you see Hannity say something, and then you see, Andrew Colvett say something, or you've seen Charlie Kirk spew this rhetoric over the last two years or whatever it may have been. This kind of just, it becomes part of it, your psyche in a subconscious way. And then you start talking about some of these things very similarly. We've even seen it. We've seen it with all of these people. And that's the thing, is it almost feels like they become part of a crew, even if they've never met the person, because their talking points might cross that path. And then that person's desk, and like, oh wow, they're on the same team. They have the same thought alignment. Right. But this belief, the belief is what's forming gradually through the media environment that they consume or that we consume, a belief that feels like your own conclusion because you heard it either from someone like Hannity or someone like Charlie Kirk, or from your pastor, or from any of your favorite radio hosts, or from the search results from your AI that's confirmed it. That belief, it's invisible, right? That belief is the infrastructure, the blueprint, and it cannot be traced back to a foreign government contract in any way that feels real to the person holding it and then getting paid out by AIPAC and then being tracked by a political donor organization. And that's what's unique about the entire operation. And it, again, it's not even just the media. I mean, that's only one part of this whole map that you pulled up. You know what I mean? There's so much to it. And the thing is, they are using data. They bring data through decades of work, not just what was working now or what has been working now, but also what worked in the early 2000s and the late 90s and the early 90s and the 80s. And then they're able to build this psychographic profile of the Trump coalition at a granular level that no foreign government intelligence service could replicate from the outside. They know what messaging makes this audience, what makes them trust the content, what kind of content this audience would trust. They know what framing makes them afraid. They know what emotionally triggers them from passive to advocates. You know what I mean? Some passive consumers of the content to active advocates. They know which communities inside the coalition are movable on which issues and at what threshold of exposure. And you got to remember the comments and the chats and the API keys. I'm a developer, right? That's why it says on my thing, AI developer and full stack. I can use an API key and I can go on my account and I could plug it in and see every single thing that's happened on my account from, and that goes for YouTube, X, Instagram, Facebook, every single platform has this. I can see what they've said at what frequency. And if I can do that with my account, imagine what somebody that's aligned with the White House, what they could do. Not just that. Think about the White House app we just found out. I don't know if you heard about this. I'm sure you probably did. They're tracking people from 4.5 minutes once you get onto their website or their app. And then they're constantly tracking it, whether your phone is on the app or not. Okay. So they're able to partner with other businesses that are on these app stores. They're able to partner with all these other podcasting stations and all of these churches and, you know, all of these other companies and these, you know, influential figureheads or companies. And they literally are building a graph, an analytical biased graph of the consumer of every single thing that you touch, whether it's an X post, whether it's a podcast that you're watching, for how long you're watching it. Did you like it? Did you subscribe? Did you share it? Did you share it through text? Did you share it through Facebook? I mean, it is the most meticulous targeting system, and they're focusing on Gen Z audiences to integrate these narratives into. And they actually have a mandate to deliver 50 million impressions a month to Gen Z audiences alone. Wow. While integrating this through, say, this is just through, say, it's 50 million impressions of Gen Z every month integrated directly through Salem Media's distribution network. And that's not just a media campaign. That is a, That is like a precision of psychological operation conducted by a person or an entity or a company or a country, I guess you could say, who knows the target better than we know ourselves. And it's because they have all this data to back it up. And then it's a never ending data pipeline, because once they plug into your data set, they can build and build and build. And now we have AI to constantly strengthen that and grow that map. So for now, say your map is like here. Well, when they see you're on this app, and then they can just see it grow and grow and grow. And before you know it, they have your kids, your wife, your daughter, your cousin, every single person in your family who you go to coffee with. That's part of the geofencing thing. Once they get into your phone, once you've been geofenced, that's it. You know, it spreads like a virus, and that's a whole nother thing. It's intense. I've been studying this probably since January. It's not been that long, and I've been obsessed. I built the whole website about it, you know, but that's how important I think this is. And on the website, I have an X account. It's actually AFNPT.org, Americans for Nonprofit Transparency .org. That's my X account that I started for it. And on the banner, it says no more foreign agents, because the foreign agents, whether they're filed with FARA or not, they are buying out our politicians. They're buying out our media. Whether it's not even necessarily about Israel at this point. We've got Qatar. We've got all these countries are doing it. It just happens to be Israel is taking the most advantage with the most money at this current time. And they've been doing it more and more and more. So we are sitting here at a tipping point where the White House's family owns a significant stake in a company that's propagandizing Israel pro messaging through 900 plus accounts, programs, news stations, podcasts, just with Salem Media and their, you know, integrated pipeline through all the aligned messaging networks that are talking through them. So what does the Israeli government get out of this exchange? Well, they get the conversion of their foreign policy objectives into what appears to be an organic, faith-driven, patriotically motivated conviction of tens of millions of American Christians. But, and they also get the belief of the environment so thoroughly preloaded with their preferred narratives through search results, AI responses, paid media, editorial direction, that by the time an American conservative encounters a question about Israel, Gaza, anti-Semitism, Jew hate, or U.S. foreign policy, every information source they trust is already a part of this ecosystem pointing in the same direction. And it's just like one big exchange of the same information in a variety of different ways.
That is incredible. I mean, everything you just laid out there, the sheer scale of it, is just like hitting me in waves. Cause then I'm thinking about all the AI data centers that they're building up. And it's like, yeah, you would need big data centers to handle the amount of manipulation they're trying to pull off here. The White House app gets into it. Of course, I'm thinking about some of the latest, you know, things people have trademarked or you know, gotten approval for like reading facial expressions. Maybe they're showing you a podcast and they see that, oh, you kind of furrowed your brow at that point. I mean, that's how granular they're trying to get here. I mean, they're actually, you know, publishing this technology. And, you know, for a long time, people denied it, but people could tell. It's like, okay, I talked about having a cat and suddenly I started seeing ads for cat food. And this is the idea that, yeah, we're listening to you all the time. Sure, we're surveilling you all the time. But that's just to give you what you want. It was almost like a beneficent thing. It was like, well, we just want to know what to sell you. But that always kind of fell flat when it's like, okay, why do they keep advertising me something that I already own? You know, and it's like, this doesn't make any sense. They're not even advertising me things that I want. They're advertising me things that have nothing to do with me. Obviously, they're not very good at using the surveillance information. What you're talking about is taking that same level of surveillance information to actually change what you want, where instead of saying, oh, you have a cat, you might want cat food, it's let's convince him to get a cat so we can sell him cat food, only about voting and geopolitics and things a lot more important than what type of what brand of cat food you buy. And this would be bad enough That's domestically, correct. But the fact that it's foreign involvement. So again, you know, we've got this, this article here, it's extremely important, and I don't want to like downplay it by doing this, but just to get through to people how I see this, just imagine we could switch out the names. The actual article says, Donald Trump Jr., Laura Trump, strike deal with Salem Media. Now, if you were to just replace their names with names of the Bidens, you know, how would you feel then? If this was Hunter Biden and Ashley Biden, right? Two members of the Biden family reaching a deal with, instead of Salem Media, if it was whatever, CNN or, you know, whoever they're, you know, well, at this point, it's Larry Ellison, so it wouldn't be them anyway. But like, if this was the deal, if it was Hunter and Ashley Biden reaching a deal with a major media company in America to make the pair of the Biden family members a major part of the company's strategic growth and content offerings moving forward, I mean, we would be outraged about this. We would say, look, this is the government. This is the White House, the evil Bidens. They're in bed with these media corporations to change how Americans feel. This should be illegal. And yet it goes unnoticed because we're the ones who care about that stuff, and it's happening on our side. I mean, is that part of the strategy, do you think? And just tell us what you know about Donald Trump and the Trump administration, the Trump family's involvement in this massive campaign of subversion.
Yeah, I mean, well, think about like what you were just saying, right? Imagine Biden, Hunter Biden, CNBC, and or not even imagine if it wasn't Israel. Imagine if it was Russia, right? Imagine if it was China. You can put any country in there. You could put South Africa. You could put Australia for all I give a damn. You know, at the end of the day, when the president's son and daughter own a significant stake in a company that's claiming 18 to 20% increase over the next 9 months, just based off of this political affiliation with, or this foreign agent registration with Israel, this is a problem. Okay. They're looking to gain money off of disseminating pro ad secondary country into this country.
Yep.
And they're benefiting off of it in multiple different ways. Now, we don't know exactly how the money pipeline besides Salem, because when I look at their market cap, it's like only 13, 15 million. You know, they were, before I dropped this story, they were $18 million market cap. They're, oh, wow. They're actually a company on the market. Well, now they're 13 million a few days later. So Brad Parscale, you know, I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm not sorry, but you know, whatever.
Well, the thing is, your cap there.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. But the thing is, we have, I can't express this enough. And I told you off air, Harrison, my buddy, a good friend of mine, Jesse on Fire. It really landed for him when I told him about the fact that Don Jr. and Lara Trump own stake and are constantly on this network. Lara has her own segment and she's publicly stated that she's happy to be speaking the truth about whatever the line was, speaking the truth on this network and whatnot. Imagine if Hunter Biden got on and was speaking on behalf of Russia or Israel or put in country, and he's serving, he's working with a company that's serving and owns that company on behalf of a foreign government. And you know that they're pushing pro-Russia propaganda down our throats, and that the president's son owns a significant stake in that company. How would you, like, imagine, how would you look? He was just selling painting. Well, you know, he was obviously doing a lot of other stuff,
right?
But even just to the little things of the paintings, it was blown way, like, people were so mad, you know? So this, nobody's, like, we were talking about it now, and I think this conversation is to get started, but the anger and frustration, I think, hasn't really sunk in yet. Because when you realize, like I have, that my president, the president that I voted for, the president that I believed in, and basically it looks like a full-blown operation, actually, from my position, from the wars, no wars, from, you know, from everything, to see him take money, to see him get completely just schmooze in a way I didn't know somebody could be schmooze before, to change his entire alignment. Or it doesn't seem that that happened. What seems to me is this was the plan all along. That's how I see it. Because when you see the back, when you trail back the money and the pipelines, it's all happening before he even got into office. Right when they get into office, what does Pam Bondi do? The first thing was get rid of the FARA oversight. That was the first thing. Why? If they were not planning this already, why? Tell everyone they're going to release the files of the Epstein files, and then they spend all of our money, all of this money, to redact those files and then hold back and then not put it out, not give us all the information, not hold any accountability.
You know, actually, Trump never really fully admitted to saying he was going to do it. He, even before, he just ran on this idea of the Epstein files. So to me, it really looks like he was saying whatever he needed to say to win. Because I believe when you look at the Board of Peace, and if you don't know what that is, I'd recommend the audience look at what Board of Peace is.
Yeah.
He is the chairman of a company or of an organization that is receiving money for what was supposed to be just pro-Gaza, for building out Gaza for 3 years. Now they've made it indefinite. Out of Trump's mouth, he said that they're going to be something like an oversight to the UN.
Yep.
They are receiving billions of dollars from other countries to build in Gaza. All right. This was the plan all along. We got duped. They lied to us. And I have no problem saying it, because when I look back at everything and I see what's happening now, there's no other answer for me. There's no other answer. You're not going to tell me that the family and Trump himself, like, think about Polymarket. Don Jr. ended up getting this investigation on Polymarket to stop the investigation. They get out of the limelight of legislation, being litigated. And then they buy Polymarket, and now we see on the news headlines that they're making millions and billions of dollars from trading and from doing, you know, yes, no bets on Polymarket in crypto. You know, why buy Polymarket 6 months into the presidency, probably working on it 6 months before that, which places you when? Before you're in office. Everything leans back to it was all a setup. It was all a lie, and it was all planned from the very beginning. And they just took us for a ride, and now they're taking us and the entire world for an even worse one because of it.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely brutal. I can't disagree with you. And again, I think, you know, we always knew that there was maybe some, you know, not, you know, Trump's a moneymaker. He's making deals and whatever. And it was always like, yeah, you know, it's all right, fine. You know, all politicians do this, whatever. But this is really something different. And the way that you're laying it out, and the way, you know, it's tied in together, again, just taking yourself out of the bias of, hey, I'm a Trump supporter and I got to support Trump, and just looking at this like any other politician, it is extremely bad what's happening here. And even if I'm just taking it from the perspective of Republicans, you don't think the Democrats are going to start investigating this at some point, looking into this and maybe charging? I mean, this could be a setup for the Trump administration or the Trump family to be thrown in jail once he's out of office because of what they're doing here. It's a complete setup. You've done just incredible work. Again, my guest is Danks. Follow him on X at Dankster Intel, AmericansForTransparency.org. Really incredible website. Thank you for all your work, and thank you for coming on today, sir.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. AmericansForTransparency.org.
Let me do this. The folks at Bigley, about 7-8 months ago, came out with this top-of-the-line Faraday cage backpack with all these special pockets, super high quality. I'd previously bought a bag for myself personally like this, similar brand, for $500. The problem was they only got 500 of these. Well, guess what? They got a couple thousand of them finally in. It took 7-8 months. It's a $600 value, just the bag, for $249. But guess what comes in it? America First Faraday bag, America First Tactical Trench Knife. It's badass. America First T-shirt, MK Ultra Atomic Defense Supplements, Shilajit Gummy, Shilajit Capsules, Irish CMOS Capsules, Warcry Premium product, and more. And VIP members get it for $199. Also, as you can now read in the newspapers, the Texas receiver is saying he's not going to pay the rent or the bills. So you guys, when are we going to be shut down? Tomorrow? 2 weeks from now? I'm going to just wait till the lights turn off, okay? You'll probably see InfoWars go down the site. You see streaming shut down. Once we can't do it, we have the All Shows Network built at Bigley owns, and I'm going to go over and do it there. But I'm going to ride this horse till it dies. I'm going to ride this race car till the engine blows or the wheels come off. Or I crash into the embankment. I ain't giving up. I'm riding this horse till I win or I lose. And then the media's like, oh, he's finally going to lose. Oh, yeah, all right. I am the InfoWar. Our listeners are the InfoWar. And we got a whole line. Here's the first one of limited edition Veterans of the InfoWar t-shirts. Look at this. This is badass. And it's the troops on Iwo Jima raising the American flag with the InfoWars patch where the stars are. InfoWars lives forever. It is an amazing limited edition shirt. Look at that bad boy. And it funds this operation, but also the Alex Jones Network to keep us on the air. We need funds. We want to get more reporters back and expand, but we need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. Oh, there's so much to take in, like all this stuff. It's all interconnected. It's all intertwined. It's just hard to sort of parse out where the influence is coming from and what the purpose of it is. But just remember that this war in Iran, a bunch of different people want a bunch of different stuff from it. At the end of the day, we can't take our eyes off the fact that all of this and everything that's led up to this point is all in service of an ultimate goal that has to do entirely and 100% with control of humanity and how they get control of humanity. And they're willing to try anything. They are sort of, you know, ideologically agnostic about the method by which control is implemented. And if it's climate change and we're saving the world, which is why we need to lock you down, but suddenly they invent data centers and AI is really good at controlling people. So forget all of that. It doesn't matter, right? It was never about climate change, just like it's not about improving your life with AI. It's all about control. And the ultimate goal that they have is not only to have a mark of the beast system in which your submission and you know, willing participation will be a requirement for your continued existence, but that every single thing in the world will be entered into their matrix, entered into their computer program to where they can manipulate the real world in the same way they can manipulate the digital world as they attempt to merge these two things. And on that note, I want to go to this video. It reminds us that as we speak, they are putting in financial instruments to commodify the entire world, including your body and the air that you breathe. Let's watch.
When we talk about capital, we tend to think only about financial capital, about cash, financial assets, but we know that's not the only value on which our economies depend. We know that every aspect of every part of the economy is fundamentally dependent on nature, as you highlighted. The air that we breathe, the water we drink, the soil, the oceans that we need for the food that we need to consume, the minerals that we need as inputs to technology and to infrastructure. And without these forms of value, these forms of natural capital, we won't have economies. They are the fundamental building blocks of our economies. But the ways, as you said, the ways in which we have grown our economies, our models of economic development, have been incredibly successful for global prosperity. I mean, but the unintended consequences of the current models of growth are simply not sustainable on a finite planet. The amount of resource that we are drawing in to our economies, Earth's resources, and the amount of pollution and waste that we're pumping out, whether that's through greenhouse gas emissions, whether that's sewage into our water, whether it's plastics into the ocean, is beyond the Earth's carrying capacity. And we know that that's leading, as you said, to very significant direct impacts for society, but very significant financial costs for the economy. You can look at that as you have and calculate that at a macro level. But the way that that's showing up as we're breaching these boundaries and breaching these limits and undermining nature is showing up in very practical ways that are showing up for financial risk for institutions. Lack of water is leading to disruption of operations, of supply chains where water is needed as an essential input for manufacturing or power production. The degradation of soil is leading to reduced agricultural yields. The decline of pollinator species is also having an impact on agriculture. So that's leading to direct financial risks for organizations, for businesses, and ultimately for investors. And as you said, ultimately the reason for this is at the moment the way that decisions are made on an everyday level within businesses and financial institutions is because we're looking only at financial data, financial metrics that are not factoring in nature. Nature is treated within the economy as though it's unlimited and predominantly as though it's free. And the risks and harms are simply not costed in financial terms. We can cost them at a macro level. They're not costed into day-to-day
Just like they always do, they're going to pitch their programs as solving some sort of problem that's just arisen out of nowhere. While at the same time, to even implement this stuff, they're building AI data centers that require as much energy as produced by 9 nuclear power plants. They're literally chopping down the rainforest to hold the meeting she's speaking at. They're completely full of crap. Until they say that we have to go to war against China for their fishing fleets, just understand, they don't give a damn about the world. They just want to own it.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it.
This stuff works, man.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
Okay, guys, it's just a strategy. Everybody out there saying that Trump is a madman, it's all part of the plan. Are you trusting the plan yet? Trump's strategy with Iran is, quote, the madman theory, an international law expert explains. Yeah, maybe. I guess there's kind of a thin line between actually being insane and just pretending to be. It's kind of hard to tell. One or the other. You know, it kind of reminds me of story of Odysseus. If you've read the Odyssey, you know that basically Odysseus knew that he was going to be summoned for war against Troy. And he had a one-month-old son. He didn't want to go to war. He knew it was going to be a disaster. He's like, I don't want to get drafted for the war. So what did Odysseus do? He pretended to be insane. You guys remember this? He pretends to be insane, and he does things like plows his field by connecting the plow to a donkey and an ox at the same time. Obviously, he's insane, right? I mean, I think I need to tell you, you're yoking both a donkey and an ox to a plow. I mean, that, I don't know. I guess that's what counted for insane in ancient Greece. But he was plowing his field with a donkey and an ox, which was the first sign that he'd gone mental. And then he was, instead of sowing seeds, he was sowing salt. And he was doing all of this for the benefit of the, it must have been King Menelaus, or somebody sent an adjunct to go recruit Odysseus, to go tell him he needed to come fight the Trojans. He wanted to avoid that, so he's pretending to be insane. And what eventually happens is the man who was there to recruit him, like, I don't think this guy's really insane. I think he's pretending. And so what he did was he took one-month-old Telemachus, Odysseus's son, and put him in the path of the plow, thinking, okay, if he's really insane, then an insane person wouldn't think twice about running over a baby, right? Of course, Odysseus goes around his son, and the guy says, see, I know you're not crazy. You have logic. You have the ability to think clearly when it's something you care about. So in that way, I think Trump has kind of failed the Odysseus test. It's kind of like the madman theories, like pretending to be crazy, but then you did the thing that's crazy. Then you actually did it. Then you actually ran over your son with the plow. And it's like, oh, okay. I don't think it's a madman theory anymore. I think he's just crazy. He actually started the war with Iran. So that's the running over of Telemachus. That is the thing that you're not supposed to do if you're not actually insane. It's why we used to read these books. That's why they used to be taught as classics, because there's a lot of, great stories in there that mean a lot when it comes to understanding humanity. But of course, they're old white men, so I guess they have to be replaced by, I don't know, twerking children. That's our cultural, cultural touchstone. But yeah, so he's sort of doing the Odysseus madman theory, only he's actually doing the crazy stuff that you're not supposed to do. He actually did go to war with Iran. So what? Is it a theory or not? And I don't think Iran cares. I think Iran is like, yeah, we know he's crazy. That's why we're doing this. It kind of doesn't matter what Trump says. Like, again, I think Trump is kind of in this media landscape mindset where he's like, I say this stuff and then Iran's going to respond. I don't know if Iran is even listening to him. I think at this point he says enough stuff that, doesn't mean anything. He says they're negotiating and he bombs them. He says they're going to bomb them and then he negotiates. It kind of doesn't matter what he says. I don't think Iran is paying attention to what he says. I think they're just doing what they're going to do. I think they're going to defend themselves. I think they're bombing certain places, and that's that. And they're kind of like, okay, he's saying stuff, but doesn't affect the reality on the ground, and that's what they're contending with, so let him talk. So I don't even know how effective this madman theory is being when, A, you actually are kind of insane and doing things that don't make any sense at all, including starting the war in the first place, and B, they're not even listening to him and don't care what he's saying, so it doesn't even matter. But we'll see how, but I don't know, maybe he's going to pull it off. Maybe it's all a big trick. Maybe he's Vincent the Chin Gigante after all. Another mafioso pretending to be insane to avoid his due punishment. Now, another kind of funny thing is Alex put up a video this weekend of America bombing the bridge in Iran and asking the question that I've been asking here on this show. How would you feel? How would we feel if Iran were to blow up the Golden Gate Bridge or some equivalent bridge, the one that we blew up in Iran? Like, how would you feel and how would our government treat that? And it's obviously terrorism. And of course, I've been saying for a while, I think that Iran is not attacking the American homeland because they understand that the war is unpopular and that the way to make it popular in America would be for Iran to attack innocent civilian Americans. Here's the view of the bombing of the bridge in Tehran, just absolute terrorism. Some people try to vaguely justify this by saying, well, it's not a civilian bridge. It's used to transport military equipment. It's like, okay, so is the Golden Gate Bridge. So is every bridge in America. Hell, the interstate system itself was built entirely to transport military equipment. Do you know that? Like, the reason we have I-10, I-20, like, you know, that whole system was created, I think, by Eisenhower, right, after World War II, when they're like, hey, we need a way to be able to transport, you know, people from the West Coast to the East Coast really quickly, and that doesn't exist right now because they're all little routes. That's where you get, like, Route 66. That's what used to exist rather than the interstate system. But they said, hey, we need a interstate system we can trust. Otherwise, you know, what would happen if, you know, there's an attack on the West Coast and we needed equipment from the East Coast and they're traveling down Route 94 or whatever, and it gets to a point where there's a tiny tunnel that you can't fit the equipment through because it's, you know, only graded for small cars or you know, moderate-sized trucks. It's like, no, we need a big, capable, you know, system to get through everything. So it's like, okay, if that's the excuse, well, why wouldn't they be perfectly justified in using that exact same excuse to bomb American citizens? And if not, why not? Why not? What would you say if they were to do this? Again, natural law. If you don't know what natural law is, it's the law that everyone understands by nature. It's fair is fair. They started it. These are invocations of natural law. It's playground law. It's something happened, but you started it. Kind of your fault. You hit me in the face, I get to hit you in the face. Fair is fair, right? That's what we're violating right now, or that's what, you know, Iran would be justified in invoking if they were to start targeting American citizens. Why not? Then a very curious thing happened. Very interesting, bizarre response. Probably the number one response I got, because then I retweeted Alex and I wrote, you know, Iran is probably only not attacking American civilians because they understand that the American public would turn against them at that point. And I had so many people respond saying, no, you idiot. They're not bombing the Golden Gate Bridge because they don't have missiles that can reach that far. You moron, you absolute idiot. How could you not know this? And it's like, do these people think that the only way to bomb something is from the air? Are you morons? What the hell are you talking about? Other people like, well, you know, how would they even do that? How would it be possible to bomb a bridge here in America? It's like, I don't know. The border was wide open for 4 years and literally millions of people could have crossed they did cross. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. There's no reason to think that there aren't Iranian sleeper cells that are here. And you can destroy a bridge with the stuff you can buy at Walmart if you know how to do it. Do people not know this? What destroyed the Murrah building in Oklahoma City? You know what that was? It was a bunch of ammonia from manure. It was cow crap. And it shredded a federal building. You don't think they could do some significant, dare I say, permanent damage to a bridge in the same way? Of course they could. People have a suicidally misinformed level of belief in the American security state. We've had bridges destroyed by accident. Do you understand that? Do you understand that the key bridge in Baltimore was destroyed 2 years ago by an Indian cargo ship that happened to steer a little bit to the left? It's still not rebuilt. It took the whole bridge down. It was one cargo ship going like this rather than like this. It's like that's how vulnerable our infrastructure is to destruction. It would not be all that difficult for Iran to target it. And that's if they want to target the infrastructure itself. If they just want to kill Americans, do you think that would be hard? It would not be hard. Again, I don't even want to give them ideas, but it's like, do you remember the Bataclan massacre in Paris? 130 people killed. How? Well, you had like 10 guys lock the doors and start opening fire. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard to kill a couple hundred people, actually. You're motivated to do it. And I think Iran at this point would be pretty motivated to do it. If they wanted to tit for tat, just do to us what we are doing to them. I think it's possible. And so again, this bizarre thing where people are like, you dummy, they can't hit us. Their missiles aren't far enough. It's like, is that what I said? Or did I say they would bomb it? That they would do damage to it? That they would target American citizens for terrorism just like we're targeting their citizens for terrorism, and they would be justified in doing so through natural law? Is that me advocating it, saying they should do it? Absolutely not. I'm terrified of them doing it. Do you understand how many soft targets we have in this country that at any moment could become battlegrounds if Iran wanted to do that? I mean, my God. Again, you get people saying, oh, well, are you on the Iran side? Like, what the hell is wrong with y'all? I don't get it, man. I don't get where the stupidity comes from, y'all. It's not smart. It's not strategic. There's no reason for us to be bombing bridges unless you actually want, like, the only kind of real reason I can guess is maybe they want Iran. Maybe they're trying to provoke Iran for doing that. Maybe they know how unpopular it is and they're desperate for Iran to bomb some big American gathering so that they can get the justification they need. I don't know. I'm open to suggestions, but so far, nothing makes sense. And nothing makes sense. And I'm telling you, looking into all this stuff, it makes less and less sense the more you look into it. And the statements they make just do not correspond with reality whatsoever. And it's a little bit embarrassing, okay? Let's go to the new video I just put in. I may not let the whole thing play, but this was Trump just before the show started today, before War Room began, detailing the so-called rescue mission that was launched to save the pilot, which again, the pilot gets downed minutes after Trump brags about that never happening and that not being a possibility anymore. So like this whole thing is an embarrassing, you know, revocation, a proof that Trump was lying on his speech on April 1st, which maybe it was a joke. Maybe that whole thing was a joke. Did we miss that part? I mean, he gives this speech on April 1st where he says that we've taken out all of their air defenses. And then it's like two jets get shot down. He's like, April 1st, I got you. April Fool's Day. You suckers thought I really was winning the war. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something. Maybe it was a prank. Maybe he was pranking us the whole time. I don't know. But now, after this weekend, we've got another, you know, series of statements that also have questionable truth of values. Let's go to this video again. Trump around 1 p.m. today. Yeah, he's trying to take out the whole country of Iran tomorrow night. So that's very exciting. The golden age. The golden age. You didn't realize it was golden because everything would be glowing in radioactive light. Let's go to Trump explaining the amazing, brilliant rescue mission, shall we?
Yeah, but nobody has the military that we have, not even close. The most powerful military anywhere in the world by far. The flight crews and warfighters aboard those aircraft took extraordinary risks to rescue their fellow service members. This first wave of search and rescue forces successfully located the pilot of the F-15, and he was extracted from enemy territory by an HH-60 Jolly Green 2 helicopter. Fabulous machine, as our warriors faced gunfire at very close range. It's amazing that when you look at the machinery, what happened, that nobody was even injured. Meanwhile, the second crew member, a weapons system officer, it's highly respected colonel.
It's unbelievable that nobody got injured. It's, it's inconceivable. I'm saying I don't believe it. Sorry, back to him. But yeah, truly amazing, unbelievable, right? Incredible. You're right. This report is incredible. Back to Trump.
With terrorists from the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, RUF group, as well as besieged militia and local authorities. On top of everything else, they told the communities actually within inside of Iran, the people of Iran, they were given a tremendous incentive to find this pilot. Despite the peril, the officer followed his training and climbed into the treacherous mountain terrain and started climbing toward a higher altitude, something they were trained to do in order to evade capture. They want to always go as far away from the site of the shoot down. You want to go as far away because they all head right to that site. You want to be as far away as you can. And he was injured, and he was an amazing, amazing thing. He scaled cliff faces, bleeding rather profusely, treated his own wounds, and contacted American forces to transmit his location. They have a very sophisticated beeper-type apparatus that is on them at all times. And when they go out on these missions, they make sure they have lots of battery space and they're in good shape. And this one worked really well, amazingly, saved his life. We immediately mobilized a massive operation to retrieve him from the mountain holdout. And he kept going higher and higher. The mountain kept getting rougher and rougher and really very, very hard to find. The second rescue mission involved 155 aircraft, including 4 bombers, 64 fighters, 48 refueling tankers, 13 rescue aircraft, and more. We were bringing them all over, and a lot of it was subterfuge. We wanted to have them think he was in a different location because they had a vast military force out there. Thousands of people were looking. So we wanted them to look in different areas. So we were scattered all over like we were right on top of them. We had 7 different locations where they thought, and they were very confused. They said, well, wait a minute. They've got groups here. They've got groups there. It's amazing.
All right. Amazing. Amazing. Thanks. Incredible. Incredible stuff. Not credible stuff. Just absolutely awesome. You know, an amazing rescue story. One for the ages. Sounds like a Hollywood movie, which is suspicious. Now, I know a lot of people out there can call me anti-American for not believing this. Here's the thing. It's not without precedent in American media having to do with wars in the Middle East. If we can cast our minds back to the story of Pat Tillman and Jessica Lynch. You remember these? Do you remember these? The Jessica Lynch story. It was basically entirely fabricated. Another, you know, thrilling rescue story in the middle of the Iraq war. In that case, it's been well known for several years. The U.S. military outright invented lies regarding literally every aspect of the Jessica Lynch story. And the Tillman family for years has been vocally complaining about the lies they were told by the Pentagon regarding the circumstances surrounding Pat Tillman's death, the pressure on other soldiers to conceal the truth, and the crass and disgusting exploitation of these lies to serve the administration's political interest. None of this is new, so why is Congress holding hearings to investigate these matters only now? This was all the way back in 2007. So again, from this 2007 Salon article. The answer is, of course, because the Republicans who trolled the Congress for the last 4 years absolutely suppressed any attempt whatsoever to exert oversight on the administration They not only investigated nothing, they aggressively blocked every real investigation into allegations of wrongdoing and corruption on the part of the administration. So again, the idea that they might, launch a fake story about a rescue mission in the middle of a war to beef up support for the war, not exactly out of the question. There's also a lot to suggest that perhaps this wasn't a straightforward rescue mission, that this entire operation may have been cover for an attempt to extract the uranium. Now, I know I heard Trump, Alex say that he didn't believe that story. I'm sure he has good reasons. I personally was kind of expecting that to be the case in the first place. Maybe there's a little bit of, confirmation bias, but I told you on Friday that it looked like the way the bombing was being done and the way that troops were being arranged, it looked like there was going to be an attempt to extract the uranium in sort of a in and out Venezuela style operation, said kidnapping Maduro. We're going to steal the uranium. And then there's a lot of speculation that that's exactly what this really was. Again, I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't know if we will know until it's relitigated, like the Jessica Lynch story. Maybe by the next time the Democrats get in charge, they might actually investigate this. I also wouldn't be holding my breath for that to happen. But we've heard Trump lay out what he says happened. Let's go to clip 23 here. This is Iran's version of the story. From their national spokesman.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, we have granted you a clear victory following the laughable attempts by America's terrorist army to conduct search and rescue operations for their downed fighter pilot. Several enemy aircraft entered our beloved nation of Iran on the morning of April 16th, 1405. By God's grace and with the vigilance and readiness of Islam's warriors in our armed forces, using electronic warfare, advanced air defense systems, a ground-based mosaic defense strategy, and establishing a military and security perimeter, several of these aircraft, including two C-130 military transport planes and two Black Hawk helicopters, were struck and forced to make emergency landings in an area south of Isfahan. After our heroic Iranian warriors completed the siege of the enemy, the humiliated foe was forced to heavily bomb their own downed aircraft, equipment, commanders, and soldiers to prevent the disgrace of President Trump and the hollow facade of their army. The ignorant president, trapped in the war and aggression he started, and the incompetent, cowardly generals of America's terrorist defeated army have clearly understood that any aggression, ground operation, or infiltration at any point in Iran will be met with decisive and humiliating defeat by the power of divine soldiers. The iron fists of our warriors and armed forces, the heroic Basij, and the brave and courageous nation of this land. The disgrace of the trapped president and America's defeated army cannot be repaired through word games, media warfare, and psychological operations. There is no doubt that all these victories and proud achievements of Iran have been under the special grace and favor of Almighty God, and we are certain that the divine promise will be fulfilled in the final victory of truth over falsehood. And victory comes only from Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise.
So there you go. Two competing stories of truth, probably somewhere in the middle. I'll tell you why people think this was a failed operation to seize the uranium on the other side. There is some evidence there. We'll be right back.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. And then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts.
We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time, so all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything, thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
It looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room for today's broadcast. We'll probably move on from Iran here in just a second. I do want to play at least one more video. And again, explain sort of my position in all of this, which is the same as the InfoWars position was all the way back in 2001, 2003. So these wars are not for us. They are against us, even though we're the ones waging them. The ultimate outcome is we are impoverished. We are destroyed overseas. We take in all of the migrants. We suffer. The so-called empire expands, but the way empire's supposed to work is you're supposed to go out and conquer or subjugate other peoples, and then you ingest that wealth into the empire, and it benefits the people of the empire. That never seems to be the case, though. We're the ones standing holding the bag while the elite, and in this case Israel, make off like bandits. They don't have to put in the investment. They do get the dividends. We put in the investment. We're hung out to dry. It's very frustrating. Very obvious to anybody paying attention. And I actually want to go to clip of Tim Dillon saying exactly this. We'll do that in just a second. Just to finish off with the story about the rescued pilot, which I'm very suspicious of. there are a lot of reasons people have to say that this may have been something other than what we are told it was, even though the process that took place was exactly what we predicted, right? You're going to have these flyovers of Iran mistakenly believing that you have air superiority, something's going to get shot down, you got to go in and rescue the guy. What if the rescuers get shot down? I mean, that kind of seems like more or less what happened, but somehow we escaped anyway. But there are some inconsistencies. We say we destroyed our C-130s so that they don't fall into Iran's hands. Iran says they destroyed them and then publish images that appear to show human skulls in the wreckage. As I've said before, the official, you know, images that have come out showing the wreckage of the at least one of these C-130s, it appears as though they crashed because the propellers are bent, which means that the propellers were spinning when they hit the ground. You don't keep the engine on the aircraft that you're trying to destroy, right? And it doesn't even make sense in the first place. You only get those bent propellers in the way they were when the propeller is spinning and it hits the ground, and it hits the ground while spinning and twists and bends the propellers that way. So again, there's a lot of like sort of on the face of it evidence from confirmed photos that show that, okay, not everything Trump said is probably totally aligned with truth. But there may be some wiggle room there. There may be some, you know, reasons why they'd want to say maybe it was overall true, but, you know, the details were fudged a little for national security reasons. I can understand that. But then you've got other things like the fact that according to Iran, and again, I'm just telling you what they're reporting, just like I'll tell you what America is saying. Doesn't mean I believe it. It's another confusing. People get confused by this. Yeah, that is supposedly the picture of the human skull there. Now, we were told nobody was even injured. Kind of hard to believe with the wreckage as you see it. So I don't believe what anybody says about this conflict, not at first blush. It has to actually align with what I know to be true or what I do have a you know, genuine foundation for believing. Again, I guess that level of nuance escapes people. It's impossible for people to understand how you could say, hey, look, Iran's saying this, Trump's saying this. We should take both of these into account and try to find out what the truth is. Like, they just want you to believe what Trump's saying 100% of the time, even if they themselves will later admit that it wasn't true at all. And we've been through this before. We're right then. We're right now. So sorry to tell you that. Now, again, the speculation that I'm not saying is absolutely valid. So supposedly Iran found a passport, essentially, which, again, it's like, okay, very 9/11-esque. You found the passports of the hijackers in the rubble of the building. Very convenient. In this case, it wasn't a passport in particular. It was like a visa. And it allegedly belonged to an Israeli military defense contractor, which is a little odd. So they posted this image of the visa card showing the passport number of this woman named Moran Sagron, who appears to be an Israeli person. And she's in the Israel Institute of Technology. And while she's not necessarily a nuclear scientist, she would be a mechanical engineer that worked almost exclusively with radiation. According to the statement released by the cyber support front, Maya is responsible for research and development in support of major Israeli defense contractors, including Elbit Systems and Rafael, which acts as the technical and industrial arms of the Zionist regime's defense ministry. The pro-resistance hacktivist group behind the operation said that during the course of the cyber attack, it also identified network data from several other defense ministry-linked firms that operate under the guise of civilian industries. The spokesperson for the cyber support front also revealed that the attackers gained access to documents and designs showing the Zionist regime's plans to develop and manufacture new military equipment. And again, all of this is related to this image that was put out claiming to be a document found in or around the wreckage. And it's a visa to the United States of America for a woman named Moran Sagron, an Israeli mechanical engineer. So if she was really there or if this document was really found there, that would suggest that maybe this was something other than a rescue mission, because why else would you need a mechanical engineer with radiation expertise if that's all you're doing? Again, the location of this near Isfahan, again, hints that maybe this wasn't a strict rescue mission and a rescue mission alone. the number of people, vehicles, aircraft that were deployed to carry this out. Again, maybe a little suspicious, as people are pointing out. Which, again, you know, I can make the argument, and I can sort of defeat the argument at the same time, right? That if you're doing a rescue mission, maybe it would be the best thing, just like a fast-flying, low-flying helicopter, get in, scoop them up, get out. You're saving one person. What more could you need? Kind of true. At the same time, if you do that and the helicopter gets taken out, now you've got the helicopter and the people in the helicopter and the pilot now missing. What do? You send another helicopter, they get taken out. Maybe you go in with overwhelming force, knowing that a single helicopter would come under fire. Maybe you need some defense there, you know, to get you across. Again, this is all speculation because the story that we've actually heard, yeah, maybe it's true. But the Iran sell a different story seems a little bit almost more believable in some ways. And they have a history of telling the truth about this conflict, where the Trump administration has a history of lying about this conflict. And that's important and a reasonable thing to add to your interpretation of events. Because we're human beings and we operate on pattern recognition. And when one group of people lies to you over and over and over again, it's not some sign of bias that you value their contribution a little bit less than the people that have been saying things that are verifiable, as I've seen personally. But hey, say whatever you want. Now, meanwhile, from the Clash report, they have satellite photos showing about 28 craters blasted into roads in Iran's Isfahan province, where the downed U.S. airman was rescued. The craters, each about 9 meters wide, appear to place a line to deliberately cut off road access. Now, Simo Sad on X, who's a good follow, says, "This settles it for me. This is the exact same attack pattern used by Israel to insert forces into Masyaf underground weapon facility in Syria. They tried to repeat it in Iran and got absolutely annihilated. This is the greatest defeat the U.S. has faced in all of its history." Again, all speculation, but what he's pointing out was, if this is true from the Clash report about the satellite photos showing the sort of very distinct pattern of bombing in the road, and if that bombing pattern directly corresponds to and matches the bombing pattern that Israel used when they were infiltrating another weapon, you know, top secret location in Syria, again, I would think that maybe that would mean something. Man, it's a little piece of evidence that this may have been more than initially let on. And again, we say that because we were guessing that was going to be the case last Friday anyway. Now, just like I received a lot of, and there's other stuff as well, but I don't know how valuable it is. I will show you clip 33 here, because last week we showed you videos of the Iranian tribesmen actually using their rifles to fire at American helicopters. Well, the guys in that video, the guys who actually shot and possibly brought down Black Hawk helicopters going to Iran, went on Iranian TV to tell the story about what it was like. And this is just absolutely fascinating and a very interesting, you know, corollary. Could you imagine if America was coming under attack like this from a more powerful foe and seeing a good old boy redneck, you know, taking down Russian helicopters and going on TV? It's pretty interesting stuff. Let's go to clip 33 now. I'll read along. He says, "American planes and helicopters came into our land and the governor gave us the green light to fire. And these fighter jets make weird sounds whenever they come to hit Tehran or Isfahan or whatever. There's this sound. We see them sometimes. Sometimes we don't see them. We hear the sound really close. We came outside and we saw two helicopters coming out from that village. The jets came in really low, even lower than the helicopters. They were banking up like this, going up. He says, I loaded my gun. One of them was up higher than the jets. When they came a bit lower, I fired two shots at it, and I saw one of them coming really low. I did nothing until the next one. Then we fired toward the window, right where you can see the pilot. I shot twice at the cockpit and twice at the cargo so it would blow up. I fired four shots at the other one, too. Did they see you? They ask. I actually told my family to stay inside, to get some distance from the house so that if they targeted me, I would get hit, but they wouldn't shoot at the kids. I swear I told the kids not to come. After I fired a few shots, I heard her dad yelling, Dad, shoot. She was shouting, shoot, Dad, it didn't come down, shoot more. They asked the little girl, you were saying, shoot shoot it down. Why? And she says, for the little martyr girls of Manab, for our dear leader, to destroy the enemies, America and Israel. Have you watched the news recently? Yes. And why do you think they are the enemies and should be shot at? Because they're child killers, she says. So again, you know, strap me down to a lie detector test, put a gun to my head, ask me whose side I'm on. I'm on the side of the American pilot, obviously, right? He's American like me. Maybe it's somebody I know. Hell, we don't know who it was. If they lived or died, I mean, we're not being told that information. But obviously, I'm going to have more in common with and, you know, be brothers with somebody who's American over there in American uniform, ostensibly fighting for us. But I think they've been betrayed. And I think our enemies sent them to die in Iran. And I feel and I empathize for the farmer out there that feels that his country is under attack, because it is, to his little daughter who says she wants revenge for the little girls killed in the school, because I bet she does. I don't think they're lying. I think they're being completely honest. And I think it's troublesome that we are now in the position where we are basically making heroes of the people of Iran that are fighting against us. It's totally our fault. This shouldn't be the case. And when you hear those people talk, does it sound like they want Iran bombed to hell? Does it sound like they're desperate to be free from their supreme leader? Or does it sound like they're very much on the side of their government, and increasingly so as America continues to abuse, harass, and kill them? So you have to take this into account. And Trump said in the video we played earlier today, they're animals. These people are animals. They don't basically deserve consideration. That's the type of mindset that ends a country. If you're actually acting like these people are animals, can't be reasoned with, can't be predicted, then you're really worse than animals. Now, you're like a demon or something. I don't know what to tell you, because these are human beings and you have to treat them like human beings. If you want anything that you do to succeed, this should be obvious, but apparently it's not. I'll go to clip four here in just a second. That's Tim Dillon being very astute and funny about this, but I thought this was an interesting post from Gen X Girl 1994 on X. She says, this is the best response I've seen to Zionist Sean McGuire's post. Sean McGuire asks, how did we get to the point where so many Americans are rooting against America? Which again, it's like, let me just read the response. But this is just what I was just saying. Like, I am on the side of that pilot. I'm on the side of the helicopter pilot being fired at. I'm not on the side of the Iranian goat herder, right? Are you kidding me? That being said, I don't think that American should have ever been there. And I hate the people that sent him there, not the people that were defending themselves against foreign encroachment. Because I would defend myself against foreign encroachment. And I would honor any Texas cowboy who went out and started shooting at foreign helicopters that were trying to bomb Houston, right? It's like, of course, they're human beings. Because that's the way that I would act. And I don't bemoan them reacting in the same way. I recognize that it's a situation that's evil. So Nick Sabo on X responds to this idea that Americans are rooting against America because they don't hate Iran and want it terrorized. He says, the opponents of this war are rooting for Americans. The war's fanatical Zionist perpetrators are destroying America, severely degrading our weapons stockpiles, expending money we don't have, wrecking our alliances, killing increasing numbers of our soldiers, raising prices, killing jobs. This war is damaging our country, both abroad and here at home, because the Zionist fanatics who started this war and are continuing this war love Israel and hate their fellow Americans. They care less about the damage they're doing to the U.S. as long as they can stay protected, as long as they can protect the only country they're loyal to, Israel. Zionists are at every level of their treacherous souls rooting against America and indeed succeeding in damaging America for the sake of a foreign country that they love. So I don't know what their motivation is. Seems like a valid one to me. I again just ask you, who is the more likely to approve of something that damages America? Somebody who is fully American to their great, 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 great grandfather, or somebody who literally waves an Israeli flag around? Just if you can't ascertain who's got the ulterior motive here, then you're the reason everything sucks. Then you're the reason, I hate to say it, that everything is being destroyed, because you have to have better discernment than that. Okay, let's go to Tim Dillon talking about this, about the betrayal that Trump supporters are feeling these days, the sheer disrespect that Trump is expressing to his beloved voters. Let's watch.
This is the greatest con in history. To run as an America first, and you're going to take care of America, and then turn around and go, you know, all of these things, daycare, Medicare, Medicaid, we have nothing to do with that. We're fighting wars. That's what we're here to do. We're here to have a defense budget of $1.5 trillion, and we're here to fight wars. It is the greatest scam in history. You got to hand it to him. And I mean, truly, and not, in, you know, again, not in like a, not in a moral way, but like you got to hand it to him. This is the greatest about face in political history that I have really ever seen. It is the greatest scam. It has taken in people. I believe J.D. Vance, when he came on my show and said, we want to stay out of Middle Eastern wars, Donald Trump's first term did not have real, I mean, he killed Qasem Soleimani, I'm mispronouncing that, whatever, but he was not running all over the world and doing this. There's a lot of things about Trump's first term to criticize, but he was not doing this. So this is surprising to a lot of people. And by the way, it's surprising to me. And it's, there's a lot of people, and I know no one's, everyone's going to act like they're not surprised. I knew he was going to invade Iran. Nick Fuentes did. He's like the only one that did. So that kid is the only one who really called that this guy was going to go into Iran. If you had said to me, is this guy going to launch a preemptive war in Iran? I would have said no. I remember being on the phone with Barry Weiss the day he won. I was in Miami and I was on the beach and I called her and we chatted briefly and it was just a very nice conversation. I said, what's this guy going to do? And she said, I think he's going to get rid of the DEI shit, which we all thought was stupid. And, you know, he's going to get rid of the DEI stuff and he's going to like, you know, like restore some sense of, you know, sanity to a lot of like Biden era DEI, like that is totally like, you know, was pushing everyone in this country to the political extremes. And he was going to get the economy going and he was going to try to tackle inflation to some degree. And he was going to, was the thought. And I mean, now Barry might have known that there was another plan. She didn't share it with me. She might have known. And I was sitting there in Miami on the phone going, well, yeah, if he does that stuff, great. I said to her, I said, what do you think about gay marriage or this or that? She goes, no, I don't think he's going to like, I don't think he's going to roll back a lot of that stuff. I think he's going to go after the economy. He's going to go after the DEI stuff. He's probably going to pull a lot of the money out of Ukraine and cut some deal. And she said, you know, he supports Israel. He's going to support Israel. And I said, okay, at that point I was, you know, that was kind of expected. And I said to her, I was like, you think he's going to get a deal done in the Middle East? And she goes, yeah, because that's what he campaigned on. We get a deal done in the Middle East. But I did not think truly that somehow he was going to launch a preemptive war in Iran. And then I didn't think we would be kind of losing it. By the way, drag me all you want, like, for not being omniscient or not being clairvoyant. I had no idea. I had no clue that Iran was going to be able to blow military bases off the earth and we weren't going to defend them. I didn't know that our Gulf allies were going to get attacked and we weren't really going to be able to do that much about it. I had no idea that this was going to go this poor. Even his detractors were like, well, the economy's pretty good. We're not in wars. He governed kind of like a 90s liberal his first term. He did the Muslim ban. It was sloppy. It was reversed immediately. There was demagoguery of issues, but he wasn't like this psychopath that people had feared where it was like, we're going to be in a world war. This term is making up for that. This term, he's really like feeling himself. It's like, you know, somebody goes away in school and they get hot over the summer and then they come in, they got a whole new attitude. And you're like, what happened to my friend? And now they're like, now I'm treating you like shit. I got hot. Somebody leaves, your little chubby friend leaves school, they come back and get hot and they don't want to sit with you anymore and they don't give a fuck about you. In fact, they want to invade Iran.
There's Tim Dillon expressing, I think a lot of us feel. I think a lot of us feel this way. This new IRGC cruise missiles have struck the Jubal petrochemical complex in Saudi Arabia, triggering massive fires and explosions. The Islamic Republic has already warned major infrastructure, including Jubal, would be targeted. All right. So again, I mean, where do we think this goes? I mean, is there anybody now even making the argument, as absurd as it would be, that this is in any way beneficial to us, that this ends in any preferable situation than the world existed in before we entered into this war? As far as I can tell right now, it's simply a matter of trying to minimize the negative damage, but we're in a trap. We're in a Chinese finger trap here because they want to stay in to make this worth it, to make all of everything that's happened seem like it was in pursuit of a higher achievable goal. But the longer we stay in, the worse everything gets. There's already dramatic and existential fuel crises in places like Australia. And you've got farmers not sure if they're going to have the fuel or the fertilizer to plant the food or the fuel to harvest it in 6 months. And because we've listened to the climate change agenda for the last several decades, they don't even have the infrastructure to get the fuel even if they wanted to. It's all been deliberately shut down because all of this is in pursuit of the same goal, the massive depopulation of the planet and the installation of a global government seat in Israel that will rule the rest of the world by force. It's Iran today. It's all of us tomorrow. And that's why we have to fight against this with everything we've got. We will continue to do that. I hope that you continue to support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. You're getting a free gift in all orders today. And there's new 1776 limited edition InfoWars t-shirts and hats. The new collection is out now and on sale. And it may be your last time to purchase InfoWars material. So go purchase it now. Save it away. Sell it on eBay for 50 years for a giant profit. Or wear it around your town and red pill new people. Whatever you do with it, we thank you for supporting us. And we have pledged ourselves in this life or death mission to rescue the planet from the insane warmongers that are trying to drive us towards the apocalypse and total hell. And all we ask these is that you support us in this mission by supplying us the money we need to wage this war at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself a fantastic product. Support us. Save the world. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification and the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, this was available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best. and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at TheAlexShowStore.com, and I thank you for your support.